much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I got a bad feeling about this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
By the way, do you know the website?
You know, I'm embarrassed. Do you know the website number? I should have it in front of me, and I don't. I'm actually embarrassed.
I'm going to call your office directly, and get it later.
It is recovery.
I find it appalling that a professional photographer would violate my trust by releasing an unauthorized and inappropriate image taken in between post shots on a windy day, which I was unaware of. This should not happen in America.
Homewrecker.
And now,
when you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
That's a good point. Oh, wait, no. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Our feature presentation.
Actually, I believe that. I'm down with that. I've been pushed, by the way.
All right, then.
People have gone down. I'm just saying. He's right. Not like that.
Kind of a racy start.
I wish.
Kevin, what's on your mind?
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin DeBean Show, and it's a Thursday morning.
And we're going to take your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067 for the Thursday edition of Kevin DeBean's What to Do Nephew coming up here in a moment. By the way, a lot of people sent me this story yesterday, Kevin, and it's particularly apt for this program because it involves something that you love and something that I love all wrapped up in the same story.
How many stories have you? No.
This is a Croatian soccer player who threw himself down on the ground and started flailing around like they do.
Right. Took a dive.
Explain that to folks. Explain what a dive is in soccer and why you hate it so.
Well, they call penalties if you tackle somebody, if you slide into somebody. And if you get a penalty called anywhere near the goal, you get a direct kick. You can shoot on the goal.
Okay.
Or you set up a play or something like that. So they, when they get close, if somebody comes near them, they just go, I just fall and roll around and hold their leg and act like they're going to die. And there was no contact. But they're just trying to get the ref to call, you know, a penalty. And it's super annoying. And every once in a while, the ref will actually give the guy who's taken the fall a yellow card, which is, you know, bad in soccer. So it's very funny that way. But
and they do some, some basketball players do some similar flopping too. But it's, to me, I don't know, there's something funnier about seeing a grown man outside in little shorts in the grass kicking his legs and feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, so this, he's playing for Croatia. He's 32 years old and he, plops down on the ground and starts running around. And the ref comes, tells him to get up and he does it. And the ref gives him the yellow card. Well, minutes later when he's dead of a heart attack.
What?
Yes, minutes later when he's dead of a heart attack, the ref's not feeling so good about believing that the man was faking. The guy died on the field.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Doctors tried to help him. There was nothing they could do, a club spokesman said of the player who had no previous medical problems. He just fell dead on the spot in the game.
Oh, my God.
And he got a yellow card.
He got a yellow card. The last thing he saw before he left this earth was getting a yellow card.
I don't know if it's possible. I don't understand the rule enough, but for the ref to take back the yellow card, maybe. I don't know if you could do that.
Oh, you're dead? I didn't even realize that. I didn't see that part. I'm sorry.
I didn't have all the information, so I'll retract my yellow card.
So anyway, listener was right, though. That's a perfect combination of stories there
it
for
is.
You. And
guy
me.
Dies.
You love the soccer. I love the death.
Yeah.
It's ideal.
Oh, can you imagine being that ref? That would be awesome. I mean, in a bad way.
Awful,
yeah.
It's something you'd never forget.
No.
And I'm sure at a soccer stadium, I'm sure they played on, right? They took the guy off the field and then just replaced him, kept going, right?
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely.
But that's the right thing to do.
But if you were a friend of that guy for the rest of your life, you would have, hey, remember when you gave that yellow card to that dead guy?
Yep.
You'd have that over his head. So that would be fun.
Good times.
All right, let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
They got a million ways to talk about Cheech and Chong in this ad. Their new Hey Watch This video is out on DVD. It says, kick back with this legendary duo that is without a doubt still smoking. see because they're famous for their pot comedy. But I'm telling you, they've still got it. They're still hilarious, and you'll love the DVD. And that's your prize for getting on the air with Kevin Beats. What to do, nephew? Why don't we start with? Well, let's start with Ben. He sounds like he's on line one. He sounds like he's got an important decision that he needs some Kevin Bean help with.
All right. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey. Okay, I called in the other night and Stryker said basically I should give you guys a call and run this idea by you.
All right. What's the idea?
Well, right now I have virgin skin and I'm looking to get my first tattoo ever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so I did a lot of things.
You mean a crappy time at work is what you meant to say since you're on the radio.
I apologize about
that. That's all right. Let me just cut you off at the pass here. I want to hear your idea, but our advice is, have you met any girls like in the last 4 weeks that you might go out with?
Yeah, like 20 of them.
Well, then you should get their names tattooed on you.
Every one of them?
That lasts forever. Seriously. I mean, you met these girls, they're hot, you should go ahead and get those tattooed.
So what's right, your
let's
idea?
Let's hear what you got.
Okay, I started thinking about what my inner child is, and I came to the realization that I'm nothing more than a, like, 65-year-old cranky British man.
Okay.
Okay.
Stuck in a 25-year-old's body.
All right.
So, that prompted me to start thinking, and I got to the idea, what would it look like if you could combine all the most crotchety people in the world into one tattoo?
Okay.
Most bitter, cranky.
Is there any way? I'm going to put him on hold for a second. Is there any way this is going to pay off?
No. He's dug himself too deep a hole. The most talented storyteller could not get out of where he is right now.
Really, the setup has just gone right to hell.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's going to turn it around and make it all interesting for all of us.
Like, give us something that just knocks us off our feet?
I'm saying no.
Even something that makes sense. I'd be happy if his conclusion made sense after the cranky British guy comment. I'm lost.
I'm saying let's move on.
Well, I want to hear what he has to say.
Sucker.
Let's at least find out what his tattoo is going to be.
That's what we've been trying to do for 5 minutes.
Say it, Ben.
All right, okay. Ben, what's the tattoo that you're thinking about getting?
Centerpiece is going to be Clint Eastwood's face.
Uh-huh.
And under it is going to say crotchety to the core. And I'm just going to get a compilation of cranky old men on my back, basically.
All right, do it.
Do it. I think you're on the right track, my
friend. Good call. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I like it. I like it very much.
Crotchety to the core.
I like it. Be sure to spell crotchety correctly, not like our phone screener did, too, by the way. If you're going to get a tattoo, very important to make sure it's spelled correctly, all right?
That is true.
Let's try Mike. Mike is on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, sorry you had to listen to Ben. Sorry everybody had to listen to Ben, but we're going to you to save the segment. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, thanks. That was awful. Yeah, I was wondering if you guys saw in the news, I live out here in the valley, there's a lingerie store on Ventura Boulevard, mm-hmm. and I guess a group of mothers are trying to get the mannequins from out of the display window, especially because some of them are curvy, and one of them has triple D boobs on
I'm talking about. So basically, the mannequins are too sexy for the neighborhood, that's what they're saying.
Well, that's what the moms are saying.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there's a reason.
Is it a lingerie store or adult store?
No, it's a lingerie store. Mannequins are wearing is lingerie. And this one in particular has like these huge, like bigger than my head boobs.
Yeah.
Right. As well they should.
I think they should take that out of the window and sell it to me. That's what I think.
I was thinking the same thing.
Take it out of the window and then put it out on the sidewalk.
But, you know.
That's what they should do.
Look, there are always people who are uncomfortable with sexuality. And it is interesting, by the way, that you can get away with a lot on TV and in real life if the model or the mannequin has small boobs. But once they get to a certain size, lots of people get really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
with
yeah you don't want to really mannequins.
It's just not. It's not fair. It's not fair to those lucky ladies that are big breasted. But thank you for the call, Mike. We'll keep an eye on that. Let's do one more, Chris. Line five on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew? How you doing?
Good.
What's going awesome. On? Okay, my beef for the morning. I had a girlfriend I was with 2.5 years. For 2 years, she had this best friend. In quotes, y'all can't see that, but she had this best friend who was like. I just never liked the guy. Turns out, we break up a little over a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a month ago, and I'm on Facebook yesterday. And guess who's her new boyfriend?
Yeah.
Her best friend. And the guy's like 5'5". She's 5'7", dude. What the hell, you know?
Do you suspect that it was going on between them?
Oh, absolutely,
something more than friendship while you guys were dating?
Well, the guy was a snake in the grass anyways. He was always trying to say, oh, I've seen Chris here, I've seen Chris there. Oh, come on now.
You said you broke up a month ago, then they changed their Facebook. But they should have changed the Facebook, you know, 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. For okay. sure. In the background, the whole time, I should have been the third wheel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Chris, you're a good man to admit that you weren't getting the job done and that your lady had to go elsewhere.
The funny part, I got the job done 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Like that, bro.
All right.
No, it's not really like that, bro.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, you got some bad news, but some good news on top there. You got some satisfaction out of the way it ended then. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
What is, oh, gosh, I don't know.
Let's talk about the Amazing Race.
Okay.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
I love that show. I watch it religiously.
I've been watching.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, Bean, we did have Phil Kogut in one time at the beginning of the season. And former Miss South Carolina is one of the contestants.
Yes.
Right?
And I hate her so much.
For those of you that don't know who that is, you will recognize this.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa,
right,
and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
For our children. So she's a contestant on the show. How has she been doing this season?
Well,
because Phil told us that she was way brighter than most of us imagined based on that clip.
Yeah, she's doing well, and she's one of the final, I think it's three teams.
She's one of the final three teams.
One of the final three teams going for the $1 million.
Which disturbs me no end, because I hate her.
Well, she's hateable.
Yeah, she's not a nice person.
And she seems to think that if she can accomplish this, then that'll erase what we just heard.
Right.
Is she still hot?
I think she's really,
she's
really
hot.
Cute.
Okay. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's really cute.
Because we have to listen to her.
But my favorite thing is that she thinks that tape's ever going to go away. Like, if she wins, like, oh, okay, that'll erase that time I gave that answer. And it doesn't work that way.
She was so proud to be one of the only female left.
Yeah,
on the three teams, the only female left. And I'm thinking, I don't want her to ever represent me in any way for
she
anything.
She doesn't. She
ever.
Represents herself.
Well, not according to her.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to talk to Phil Kogut about the Amazing Race finale and try to find out if we can, if Miss South Carolina somehow manages to do it. We have Kevin Smith on the program today. He's going to be coming in. He's got a night of comedy / stand-up / storytelling / speaking.
It's very unique what he does.
I don't know what to call it, but it's fascinating.
Pee before you go in, because you're not coming out for a long time. It does turn into a hostage situation whenever Kevin takes the mic.
We have Petros Papadakis in the studio today. We tried this yesterday. We were less successful. We were hoping to be more successful today.
Yep.
We're going to talk about unusual fears today. Ralph came in with a story about Kylie Minogue, the singer, who is afraid, deathly afraid of hangers. So she doesn't have any. She has a room where she has her clothes laid out, but she won't put them on hangers.
Wow. That's a giant room.
And usually it seems like there's something that you can look back at and you can go, this is a situation I had a problem with, clowns
and
or whatever.
Get over it.
Right. But not her. No. She's afraid of hangers. So we're going to take unusual fears coming up in the next hour. The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is back.
Woo!
Very excited. And Lisa Bain's mom is dead. Very excited about that as well.
No. So you sound awfully happy about that. That's sad news.
She's not
to Lisa.
She's not dead.
Lisa, what?
Yesterday she said she was dead.
Yesterday she said she was dead.
Absolutely.
Right? All right.
She was on the soccer field. She was flopping around. The next thing you know, she had a heart attack and died. That's what I heard.
And they gave her a yellow card.
Got a yellow card. All right. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Ralph Garman with what he considers the best 5 minutes of the whole hour. Hi,
well,
Ralph.
It's not just me. Come on, let's face it.
Yeah, if we put a poll up, that would be the case.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I finally found out how I want to go out, boys.
How you want to die?
Yep.
All right.
So,
when I keel over here some 40 years from now, talking about Justin Bieber's prostate problems, I want you just to pick me up and do what happened to David Morales, member of the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club. David was killed in a gunfight in the city of San Juan, Puerto Rico.
That's right. A good way to go.
He left instructions with his family and with the other Hell's Angels of the type of funeral he wanted. And so, Undertakers mounted David on his motorcycle using hidden body braces, then dressed him in leather and his wraparound sunglasses, then displayed him next to two lit torches, and propped up next to him was a copy of Meatloaf's album, Bat Out of Hell.
All right.
That's how I want to go.
He had some specific requests.
He knew exactly how he wanted to be remembered, and that was it.
That's weird. I don't have a plan.
On his hog, with two torches going, Bat Out of Hell playing in the background. Just, that's where he was going, man, right to hell.
Who duels anymore with weapons?
I don't think it was a duel so much as it was a altercation in which guns were drawn and shots were exchanged.
Where'd you hear the duel part, Kevin? That wasn't in the story.
Kevin thought they were doing 20 paces and turning around.
That's what I pictured.
Aaron Burr and this Hell's Angel.
Did you see the pictures of the guy, though? He looks really good for a guy who's dead. What?
Only being with that seen photos from this story.
Well, I was going around.
That's an obscure piece of information I thought would be fun to talk about. Bean's already seen the photos.
It was going around a lot a couple of days ago, but the guy, you could never, I mean, if you just saw a snapshot of him, you would never know that he was dead. I'm saying they did a magnificent job of it.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm behind on my
It's a great story. It's a great story.
It's been going around for days now. It's a little moldy for you to bring up.
I like to stay current.
I'm glad you brought it up because we never talked about it on the air, and it's a funny story. And by the way, the Meatloaf, that's the most hilarious part of the whole story to me, is that's what you want to be remembered by is the Meatloaf album.
Damn it, man, is there anything you don't know?
Elizabeth Hasselbeck, interesting week for her. She went on that View show that she's on.
Right.
That horrible View show.
That Bean watches.
And she was talking about Dancing with the Stars. And she is upset because she thinks the outfits they wear on Dancing with the Stars are just too revealing.
Really?
Yes.
That's her cause?
It is ruining the moral fiber of America with all those sexy outfits they wear on that show.
Really?
Yes. And so she mentioned that the guy who stalked and posted nude video of Erin Andrews when she was staying at that hotel, when she was naked curling her hair? She suggested he should have just waited 12 weeks because you could see the same view on Dancing with the Stars. And everyone said, that's kind of out of line. The woman was stalked.
Did they? The other women said that?
Yeah. And the press kind of jumped on it, too.
Good.
Well, Elizabeth Hasselbeck made her teary-eyed apology on The View yesterday, where apparently she was bearing her soul to her five-year-old. Why she goes to her five-year-old with her problems, I have no idea.
She was talking to her five-year-old about it?
But I would like you to listen to her crying and apologizing from yesterday's The View.
Yesterday, when we're talking about Erin... even though I was focused on the detestable criminal who's behind bars, thankfully, who's really made her life a living hell and is in jail, I ended up hurting her. And so I told Grace, I said, Grace, mommy feels really bad because I hurt somebody. So I took out her little devotional that we read and I read her, mommy always reads you, reckless words pierce someone's heart like a sword. And I told her and I promised her that I would use my words more mindfully like I try to do. To build people up, not break them down. And thankfully, she's five and so cute. And she said to me, Mommy, why don't you just call Erin and tell her you're sorry? So thankfully, I listened to her. She's a wise little girl, and I did.
Yeah. Well, we've learned a few things from this.
Wow.
First of all, thank
God we didn't watch The View.
Second of all, five-year-olds are smarter than Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yeah, all of them.
Yes. And apparently, now that Elizabeth's handing out apologies, I would like a written apology from her for making me a little dumber every time she opens her mouth and I hear her.
Even if you're not watching, somehow it sifts down and you get dumber.
Oh, yeah. She's contributing.
The only way I want this story to end is if it is now revealed there's an Elizabeth Hasselbeck, like, gangbang tape or something. That would just be the greatest
ever.
Exclamation point ever.
So I sat down with Grace, and I told her, how mommy is with daddy? Well, I was that way with the Baltimore Colts.
The whole team.
Back when they were still in Baltimore. David Boreanaz, the sex scandal gets weirder and weirder. I told you earlier this week that Gloria Allred celeb attorney, Gloria Allred, went on behalf of her female client, who David was having an affair with, and basically extorted.
Yeah.
Tried to extort hush money out of him, saying, we want, I don't know, a couple grand or whatever it was to shut up about this affair. So David Boreanaz went public with it and said, look, I cheated on my wife. I'm not proud of it, but here's the situation. Now, according to TMZ, we were all led to believe it was Rachel Uchitel.
Right.
But he was having sex with. Now, apparently, it's a different gal altogether.
Oh.
This is another client of Gloria Allred's who has come forward and is was pressuring David Boreanaz before he sort of took the ammunition out of their gun. So,
okay.
So God, it's not Rachel. Stable now of women?
It's not Rachel. Someone else. Well, I don't know how many affairs he's had, but we originally thought it was Rachel.
Gloria Allred.
Gloria Allred.
Oh, yeah. She's got...
This is her business.
She advertises.
Now.
Are you having a press conference?
I'm
your
lawyer.
Are you having an affair with a married man?
She's got more whores going in and out of her office than the Bunny Ranch. And... Oh, this could be good. This could be really good. Apparently, Kim Kardashian...
Wendell. Yes?
...is getting death threats.
What?
Oh.
How's that good?
Because Justin Bieber... said he likes her.
Wait a minute. Huh? Oh, you're kidding. Justin Bieber fans?
Justin Bieber fans are threatening Kim Kardashian's life after the two met and took a picture together Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in Washington, D.C. By the way, what is Justin Bieber and Kim Kardashian doing at the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
That's a great question.
I can tell you the answer to that question is that the people in the media who want to get attention for themselves being at the Correspondents' Dinner, they always look for celebrities, pop culture icons that they can bring with them to put at their table because that gets their table talked about.
Well, there you go.
Exactly why it happens.
Justin was tweeting.
See pictures of this, Bean?
I have. I saw the picture of Kim and Justin from the dinner.
Justin tweeted that Kim was his girlfriend in a joking fashion and said that she's got Bieber fever.
Right.
Well, the Bieber fans did not sit well with them because Justin is all theirs, and they are going to marry Justin because they love him.
Right.
So now they're making all kinds of death threats against Kim Kardashian.
Wow.
A lot of 9-year-olds.
A lot of 9-year-olds wielding sharpened slinkies are coming over to her house and threatening her. So
I hope before you die in the duel that Kevin's put you in, Ralph, I hope you get to enjoy Justin Bieber turning into Leif Garrett because you get so much satisfaction when you see him, you know, on a motorcycle with a bandana in about 25 years.
I think he's going to be turning into Katie Lang.
Yeah, maybe so.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Bergeron. One of the best hosts on television.
Oh, yeah.
He really
Absolutely.
Is. I know you guys don't watch the Dancing with the Stars, but he makes that show, hosting that show, look effortless. He really is.
Yeah, he's great.
He is 55 years old today. Actress Roma Downey celebrates her 50th birthday. Gabourey.
That's a bell, right?
Yeah.
Roma's a bell.
Yeah. Very attractive woman.
Yeah.
Gabourey Sidibe.
That's a bell.
From Precious is 27 years old today. Actress Adrienne Palicki from Friday Night Lights and Legion, she is 27 years old today. And actor George Clooney celebrates his 49th birthday today. He is the coolest 49-year-old on the planet.
Yeah.
Let's give George a bell.
Yes.
Come on. There we go.
Thank
Come on. Even you guys, you got to admit.
Listen,
he's
dreamy.
On your list, right?
He is dreamy.
I'm
he's
no
one
mo,
guy on your list.
But
he's pretty dreamy.
He makes my butt hungry.
All right, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 6.
Cage the Elephant, also 9 Inch Nails, and Because You Demanded It, Local H, all straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph, we don't need you, actually, because we're going to do the Wheel of Bad Animal Horses
here. You never need it anymore, exactly for that reason.
No, this could be great. This one,
someone has to stop the madness.
This one's going to be great.
Let's give up on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. I plead. I beg of you.
We have so many stories, though. We have to put them on the wheel and spin.
And yet, oddly enough, this bit is the same every single time.
I don't think
all the different
true.
Stories, same lame-ass comedy sketches.
Why do you hate?
Because it's bad.
Oh.
What are the animal stories that are on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices today?
All right, we have the tweeting Ugandan gorillas.
Okay. I see now, Ralph. There's a perfect example. I have many questions for the Ugandan gorillas that tweet. Yeah. Like why and how? I mean, how would you not want to hear that?
Same questions we ask you about tweet.
Percy the albino squirrel. Don't even remember that story. I have no idea. Japanese attack bear.
Hi.
You know what? Most bears, if you provoke them, will attack. What makes him so special?
Because the Japanese aren't allowed to attack since World War II. That's why.
Oh,
rock throwing elephant. The one that we're never going to do, the human-faced lamb in heaven.
You don't know, man. You don't know. It could land on that today.
Giant Japanese jellyfish.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
The Trangkok Snard Bear.
Okay.
Oh. The Russian dog girl. The renegade kangaroo. The smiling dog.
What kind of kangaroo is he?
He is a renegade kangaroo.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Renegade.
Renegade?
Did I say it wrong? Renegade?
You said, originally
I said it wrong?
You said renegade.
All right. So let's spin the wheel and then...
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Oh, no.
It's gonna be pretty bad. Yeah. But Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Voices.
Come on.
Brian Setzer and his orchestra are doing our intro today.
Please be the dead human face lamb.
Oh, it's the Trank Ducks and Art Bear.
No, I'm out of here. I'm going. I can't listen to this.
This is going to be funny.
I'm going.
Did you see? It was just in the news recently.
It's a great story.
Here's the story.
You could call it an unbearable position.
Oh!
But this 200-pound black bear looked right at home as he slept wedged in a tree at this Oxnard cemetery. Fish and game officials peppered the bear with tranquilizers after he climbed up this tree to take a nap. And at dawn, you could see three tranquilizer darts poking from his fur. After several hours, firefighters brought in a massive harness and ladder truck, and crews carefully lifted the sleepy, sluggish bear from the branches, with his head hanging, his arms and legs dangling, all before being safely loaded into the back of a truck.
Why do they have to keep telling us how tranked he was? His legs were dangling and his head was hanging. I'll tell you, he sure was tranquilized.
He was way asleep. Well, we asked producer Alex to light us up somebody to talk to about this story, and we're going to pretend that it's the California Fish and Game official on the line, but in fact, it's going to be, I believe, the tranked Oxnard bear answering the phone on the other end.
Hello?
Hi, is this the Fish and Game Department?
No, this is not Fish and Game. This is Bear.
You're the tranquilized bear.
The bear that's been tranquilized.
Okay.
God, you sound familiar. I can't place your voice, but I feel like I've heard it before.
I do not know what you're speaking of or what even you're speaking of.
Can you say the word renegade?
Renegade.
Okay, close enough. Now, Oxnard Tracked Bear.
Call me Kevin.
What? Kevin. All right, your name is Kevin? Okay.
Yes, my name is Kevin.
I'm
a bear who has been on tranquilizers.
It was very sad that you're just up there taking a nap, just enjoying yourself, sleeping in a tree. Next thing you know, man comes along and starts shooting darts at you. I hate that.
Oh, so do you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hate it too because I was sleeping.
You weren't hurting anybody, right?
I just took some strawberry ice cream onto the tree, and I was eating it, sleeping. And next thing I know, strawberry ice cream's everywhere, and I have darts in my ass.
Yeah, that's a terrible way to come out of a nap, isn't it, Kevin?
It's not a good napping way to have.
Uh-huh.
It actually is. If I might say so.
I might say so, too.
So what are they going to do with you now? Thank God you're not going to be euthanized or anything, right? They're going to relocate you?
I am not old. I don't need to be euthanized.
Okay, but he meant killed because you're a threat. I
believe. I thought they made me younger.
No.
With being euthanized.
No.
No.
He said you're fine. You're released. You're someplace else now. You're not.
I made a wrong turn, and that's why they were angry with me.
You made a wrong turn.
Yeah, I shouldn't have been where I was.
Okay. Right. You should have stayed in the woods, I guess. Would have been a little safer for you.
Yes. I was, I was going home from Burning Man, and I saw on the cow, and I made a sharp turn, and then I was all in Oxnard.
Do you like the Burning Man? Would you say you're a fan of the Burning Man?
I'm a fan, long time Burning Man.
Oh, really?
And I'm going. What?
How dare you?
Well, how dare you?
How dare you?
How do you sleep at night?
Sorry.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 6.
This song should be arrested for the crime of sucking.
Oh, how dare you. That's Local H on the Kevin and Bean Show. Come on. All right. Ralph brought us a great story on the Showbiz Beat a couple of days ago about Kylie Minogue, who, by the way, Kylie yeah, Minogue. You know
hot.
What I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, so hot. Probably best known in the United States for the Locomotion from many, many years ago. And she had a couple of other hits that that did pretty well.
She's a huge star around the world, right? Except
huge
for,
star.
Except for the States.
Yeah. She had 50 top 10 hits in most countries around the world. But Ralph, you brought her up not because of her music, but because of something unusual going on in her personal life.
Yeah, it always cracks me up when I hear about people's weird fears. And she has an irrational fear of clothes hangers.
Now,
can't stand them. Scared to death of them.
It seems like most of the time when you have a fear, irrational or otherwise, it seems like you can always point back to a point in your life where something went wrong or something happened or it caused it. What could happen with the hanger?
That's what makes it irrational, I guess. Instead of having a regular clothes closet, she has a wardrobe room. And because she can't hang anything up, basically the clothes are just laid out all over the room. So when she wants to look at her clothes, she goes in there and looks around and then picks out her outfit and leaves. But it's a separate giant room just where her clothes can be laid around.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. The more irrational fear, the better. The more irrational. I mean, really, the ones that just don't make any sense. That's yeah. the ones we're looking for. She says, the problem is I hate putting things on hangers. I have a hanger phobia. I don't like the way they sound when you put them in the wardrobe. So that means she doesn't like the sound. Once the clothes are on the hanger, then when you hang it,
yeah.
that's the sound she doesn't like?
Little
yeah.
Ah, she's right that now little... listening and just freaking out.
How bizarre is that?
Moist.
No sense.
I don't think I have any irrational fears. I mean, there are definitely some things that skeeve me out. You know, I don't care for the handicap, for instance, but I don't know that that's – I'm not afraid of them so much as they weird me out because they're different. But I don't think – in terms of fears, I don't think I have any like this.
No, I don't think I have – I mean,
I've got slight claustrophobia. Yeah. I'm not a fan of enclosed places, and I have sort of a fear of, like, not a fear, but when I imagine the worst way it would be possible for me to die, suffocation or being buried alive or something like that is always number one on my
sure.
list.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that.
1-800-520-1067 is a number for fears that you have. The more irrational, the better. Let's get Kathleen on. She contacted the show, and she is honked up. But we're delighted to have her on the air. Hey, Kathleen, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my dear?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. You're not walking upstairs or anything like that while you're talking to us, are you?
No, I'm not.
Tell us your irrational fear.
Well, I have two, and one of them, I don't think it's that irrational, is walking upstairs and, like, falling forward and landing on my teeth.
Wait, walking upstairs, falling forward, landing on your teeth.
That's all I can think about when I walk up a flight of stairs, even like a couple steps.
Couple.
You know, when I was in college, I did that. I was running upstairs full speed, and I had my hands in my coat pocket because it was cold. So I tripped, and I couldn't get my hands out. So my face did break my fall. But and I broke my nose, but my teeth were okay. But that never happened to you when you were younger? You just, for some reason, picture your teeth are in danger?
Yeah, it's never happened to me before. Huh.
Yeah,
never.
You're crazy.
So what do you do? Do you avoid? Are you at the point where you avoid stairs, or are you just super extra careful and walk up them slowly?
No, I can't avoid stairs, but yeah, I walk up them very slowly. And if
she's
I can't
clinging.
Walk up them slowly, I do think in my head, like,
don't fall. Watch the teeth.
You should get a mouth guard. You should get a mouthguard like boxers wear.
That's good.
To go up the stairs.
Yeah, to go up the stairs.
I like it. Well, good you idea. Said you had two. What was your other one?
My other one is just completely crazy, but...
Oh, wait, the last one wasn't. The last one made perfect sense. Go ahead.
This one's worse. It's having, leaving my stuff out and someone, like, peeing on my clothes.
Do you have a dog? Is that where this is coming from?
I have a dog. He pees on all my stuff. I don't mind. It's my, like, if I go to a friend's house for the night or go on vacation with my friends and have a suitcase, I need to hide my stuff because I'm scared that if we have, like, after party at our place, someone will be there. I'm not there to, like, watch my stuff.
Right.
They're mad at me or they think it's funny.
Oh, I see. So it's like a prank. You don't want somebody to do that as a prank.
Yeah, but it pretty much consumes me when I go somewhere else and have to bring my stuff in a bag.
Has anyone ever really peed on your clothes?
No, it hasn't happened to me, but my friend's boyfriend did that to someone once.
Wow. I can see that. If you were somehow involved in it, I guess I can...
But to live in abject fear every time you get with a group of people and fear that someone's going to pee on your clothing is nuts.
Yeah, I hide my stuff. I don't want people to know that I'm afraid of that because then they know how to
Of course. Are you kidding?
I would never pee anywhere else.
Same here. As a matter of fact, we're tracking this call.
Kathleen, thank you very much for contacting the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck with both of your fears, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. All right, that's the crazy bar to beat. Can you beat Kathleen? Do you have a crazier, more irrational fear? We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we're talking about irrational fears. Kylie Minogue is afraid of hangers. We talked to a listener a moment ago who is afraid of falling up the stairs when she's walking and breaking her teeth. Gina writes in, she's terrified of the little TiVo guy when he slightly moves on the screen. Terrified of that.
Slightly.
What?
Drives her crazy. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What is your irrational fear? We got some great ones on the line here. Let's start with Josh. He's on line two. I've heard of this one before, but I don't know where it comes from. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Morning, guys. My irrational fear is of cotton, especially the cotton that's inside pill bottles.
The cotton? Oh, that they pack pill bottles with? Why?
Doesn't Dave have this fear?
I have a feeling like if I touch it, my throat's going to close up, like from an allergic reaction or something, even though I'm not allergic to it.
That's never happened?
It's never happened, but it doesn't stop people from using it, like putting it in my bed or throwing cotton.
Of course. You're dumb enough to let people know that. You get cotton everywhere. Now, do you use, like, pliers when you open a pill bottle?
I have to hand it to my wife. I can't do it.
Have you tried to handle it, like take some cotton out and play with it and see that it doesn't hurt you and maybe...
The worst part is the like sound that it makes when you pull it apart, and it makes like a
It can be deafening.
I'm getting the chills right now.
That cotton ball sound can be deafening.
Why are they bothering to make all those Freddy Krueger movies when they can have a giant cotton ball coming after you?
Serious.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome. Right.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Crystal, line three. Let's think of the most harmless animal in the world and see if Crystal can be afraid of it. Hi, Crystal. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm terribly afraid of goldfish.
Of goldfish?
Because of all those times that they turn on their odors and kill?
No, it's horrible. That little popping sound that they make when they want food, when they come to the surface. And then, like, I had one. It's one of my first vivid memories. When I was, like, four, and I took it out, and I popped its eye out and killed it.
Oh!
And then
that's
horrible. My mom replaced it, so I thought it was, like, a zombie fish, and I didn't understand how it came back, and it just... I'm horribly terrified.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, I don't think you should be allowed to have them, frankly.
I don't either.
That makes sense. And if they communicate, you're on their hit list.
Yeah, you got it coming if they come after you. By the way, that little popping sound, you know, cut the fish some break. It's just air bubbles.
It's horrible,
Bean.
They're just trying to live. They're just trying to breathe. Yeah,
Crystal's not good with that. We already heard the story. She killed it. She popped its eye out.
Oh, my God.
Tough. Thank you for the call. Candace. Line five.
Crystal will be in jail in the next 5 years. That's my prediction.
Now it's getting weird. Candace, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you afraid of irrationally?
I have a huge fear of balls. Whenever I walk at a park or at the beach and I see someone throwing a football or kicking a soccer ball or baseball.
Any type of sports ball?
Yeah, I get really tense. Or even a frisbee.
Now, was there something in your past? Did you get hit with a baseball or have you been... traumatized by that somewhere along the way?
Yes, in elementary school I was hit by a frisbee and my nose started to bleed, so maybe that's where it started, but I don't play sports or anything. I'm terrified of balls.
Have you ever had balls hit you in the face?
No, I haven't had a ball hit me in the face, just a frisbee, but I'm just afraid whenever I walk past someone playing with a ball, I'm going to get...
Sometimes the way to get over a fear, you know, like Bean said, is to actually go ahead and have the balls hit you in the face. Sometimes, like, if you were just to do that on purpose, maybe you could get past
it. Wouldn't that hurt, Kevin?
That may hurt.
All right, last question for you. Is it only in person, or do you have the same problem if you see sports on TV?
Oh, no, I'm fine if I see sports on TV, but I don't watch sports on TV. So.
Can you go to a baseball game?
Oh, God, no.
I can go to a baseball game as long as I'm not close enough to where the ball can, like, go into the stand.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Good luck with that. That's a weird thing to probably encounter an awful lot. Those are the worst kinds of fears, I guess, are the ones that it's hard to avoid. All right. Daniel on line six. He has to be making this up. This can't be true. Daniel?
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Daniel.
Wow, was that a scary
that
hello?
That was creepy.
Irrational fear?
Sorry. No, I'm afraid of CD players.
What?
You're afraid of CD players.
Yeah, like, I was at Walmart this one time, and I just saw a CD player. I know it's going to sound horrible, but I peed on myself. Like, previous listen, I really did pee myself.
I don't buy that.
But everybody really has them in their homes, or they used to anyway.
Used to. Now, thank God the CD died, right? Because now you don't see them nearly as often. But for, you know, for 20 years, CD players were everywhere.
Exactly. But my cousin found out that I hated CD players, so that's what he gave me for Christmas. And
of course. Okay. Say, every one of you is stupid that tells your friends what you're afraid of.
Yeah.
Right. Daniel, I have to ask, DVD players? How about them?
No, I do get goosebumps sometimes, but nah.
All right, but so it's CD players. That's the one that terrifies you.
Yeah, CD players are horrible. They're mean people.
All right.
How about they're mean people?
They're
how
mean
about
people.
Record? How about record players? How about turntables that play vinyl? Are you afraid of them?
I'm not kind of like them. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. So just CD players. All right. Have you considered having balls hit you in the face?
That's the last girl.
But I could help your listener with that.
Ah, there you go.
Weedy Rose.
I'd
be great. Unlikely, Kevin. I don't think. I think he's otherwise occupied.
Making the announcement on Monday. Just saying. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:53.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some Muse, STP, Silver Sun pickups, all on the way, and Petrus Papadakis in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we have to pay our respects to Lisa's dead mom.
Yeah,
coming up.
So she's such a shame.
Very, very sad to see her go.
Too bad Lisa had a chance to get her flowers before she went.
I know.
Mom is still alive.
Sad when they died just a few days before Mother's Day. I know.
It's brutal.
Anyway, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat first. What's going on?
I want to give you a heads up if you are a Star Trek fan like I am. They just announced that the Royal Theater in West Los Angeles, which is a huge theater, like 600 seats, they're going to be doing a program over the summer of midnight screenings of all the Star Trek movies.
No kidding.
In 70mm on the 70mm on the big screen.
Wow.
And they're going to have guests from the movies as well. Starts June 12th, goes all the way through July 24th. And Nicholas Meyer, the director of Wrath of Khan, will be presenting that movie, for example. Catherine Hicks, who played Dr. Jillian Taylor in The Voyage Home, will be there. Walter Koenig, of course, who played Chekhov, will be there for Star Trek V. Star Trek VI in July will be hosted by George Takei.
Yeah.
So, sounds like a good program. You can go to trekmovie.com for more information. Also, lemley.com for more information. So,
fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan. You must be a devil with the ladies.
Yes, I am. Kick-Ass 2. You want to see a sequel to Kick-Ass? Did you enjoy the first Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
I loved it. Apparently, Kick-Ass 2, Balls to the Wall, is in pre-production, according to Mark Millar, who is the creator of the original comic book in which the film is based. He says the movie will go into production for a release in 2012, so we have a couple years to wait. But I'm glad to hear that maybe a franchise.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I really enjoyed that film, although it wasn't a huge hit at the box office. Maybe it'll do better in DVD and garner some cult following.
Yeah.
Kesha.
Love.
One of Kevin's favorite artists. Is doing what a lot of artists are doing now. She's making a lot of cash doing private shows for people. She was playing a bat mitzvah in New York City last week. She was paid $50,000 to do two songs.
Wow.
Dude.
Wow.
Dude.
50 grand for two songs.
Yep.
Two sucky songs.
That's right.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
So she was performing at a bat mitzvah. Those of you who aren't of the Jewish faith, and I'm not, but I've been to a lot of these when I was a young man.
Right.
I hung out with a lot of my friends who were Jews. The bat mitzvah is the celebration of a girl turning 12 or 13 years old, where in the eyes of the Jewish faith, she becomes a woman.
Right.
You got the bar mitzvah and the bat mitzvah. Bar right. for boys, bat for girls. So she was playing at this bat mitzvah, and after Kesha finished her set, she wished the girl a happy sweet 16.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Talking that.
And everyone was mortified, no one more so than the 13-year-old girl.
Yes.
And so for 50 grand, she made a little girl very unhappy, basically.
Yeah. That's her cry on her special day.
On her special day.
Yeah. That's
Can
awesome.
I ask you guys something private?
Yes, you should move to Israel.
Yes, you should. Kim Kardashian.
Glendale.
I don't know if you've been following this story lately, but she has been very vocal in trashing her ex-husband, Damon Thomas, saying he was abusive and blah, blah, blah.
I haven't seen that.
No, that's Kesha's
the blah, that's right.
That's how talking that.
In Touch Weekly magazine has a very different story from Damon, who's now speaking out himself. saying his ex-wife is obsessed with fame but doesn't have any talent. And the rumors of him hitting her are absolutely not true, he says. He says, first of all, she cheated on me with multiple guys.
At the same time.
Yeah. I helped finance her cosmetic surgery. And I knew our marriage was over when she was on the cover of a magazine out on a date with Chris Judd, the second husband of Jennifer Lopez, while we were still married.
Ooh.
Okay.
So she may not have been perfect in this marriage herself, I guess is what he's saying. John Gosselin, speaking of bad marriages, was spotted in Target. Why do John Gosselin and Target just go hand in hand in
yeah.
my mind?
I don't know, but I hope he gets stabbed.
Seems a step up from him.
He was cruising down the book aisle, and guess what? DigitalSpy.com spotted him picking up.
Kate's book?
Kate's new book.
Wow.
He was standing there leafing through it.
You could understand maybe he was wondering about
sure
what she says about him, maybe.
But I'd buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the last thing I would be doing is caught reading my ex-wife's book in public. Yeah, he looks so pathetic. He told an onlooker who was standing in the same aisle, said, the first 20 chapters are all about me.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at this. Look what she says here.
Imagine
just
me.
Being the poor bastard who just happens to be standing next to him in that aisle and get accosted by John Gosselin wanting to share
his
feelings with you.
I don't care.
No, but look at this. Look what she says here.
Right, but I don't care.
Oh, sad guy. Last night, American Idol, Aaron Kelly got booted off.
Oh,
he or she is so good.
That guy really brought it,
He or she is very still happy.
We were talking earlier, Ralph, that American Idol Tuesday night had the lowest ratings since Wednesday, I guess, the lowest ratings since 2002.
Wow.
It's really taken a dive.
Because it blew.
That's back in the Dunkelman years.
Oh, Dunkelman.
Wow.
That's what the show needs.
That's
more Dunkelman.
Yeah.
And Katy Perry.
Oh, my God.
Loves to be the center of attention. Apparently, she was at an event in New York City recently.
I sort of have a boner.
And she was wearing a dress that was covered with LED lights. It was a dress that lit up.
Uh-huh.
So while she was at the party, her shoes and dress were flashing.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool.
You saw it, Bean?
I like it.
What do you think?
There was a lot of coverage on that event, that fashion event at the Met that she was at with the blinky dress. But she looks great in everything.
Damn it, man, is there anything you don't know?
Apparently the switch for the lights was in her cleavage.
All right.
Oh, my God.
And according to the New York Post, she freely invited people to turn her outfit on and off.
All right.
Spoken like a true whore.
Hey, would you like to turn my dress on? Put your
awesome.
Hand in my boobs.
She's the best person on earth,
she
right?
She is.
Well, she is. Until she gets married to Russell Brand.
Yeah. I love her so.
God, is she hot. Look at that rack.
And she'll just be damaged goods.
Yeah, she'll never get that off of her.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Bergeron, host of Dancing with the Stars, is 55 years old today. Roma Downey, very talented actress. She was touched by a priest or something. What was the name
angel,
of her show?
Like
touched
by
an angel.
By an
That's
angel.
Right.
Angel,
that was the name of her series.
Is she Mrs. Mark Burnett?
Yes. She
is. Roma Downey? She was. Yeah. I'm guessing she still is.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Haven't heard otherwise.
Yeah. All right. Unless she watched Pirate's Cove or whatever that reality show was. Yeah, maybe she had taken a powder. I don't know. Maybe Shark Tank didn't go over too big there at the house. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 39 years old today. Gabourey Sidibe. Precious is 27. How much cake?
Really?
Really. How all much cake?
All of whatever state she's in?
On her birthday.
Wow.
How much cake? Adrian Palicki.
Oh.
From Friday Night Lights and Legion is 27 years old today. And my good, good buddy George Clooney celebrates his 49th birthday. So I want to give a big shout out to George. I know he listens every morning. George, buddy, we'll have lunch today. Celebrate your birthday. Cocktails on me. All right, buddy?
You don't know him, do you?
Let me just have my pretend moment,
right.
Please. Makes me feel better.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Somebody get the splash guard, put it over the salad bar, because Petros is coming in here in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, I'm very sad to change gears after that happy, peppy, upbeat Muse song. But
Should we start with Taps?
You know, I may have to find Taps. Condolences go out to our own Lisa May, who has suffered a devastating loss here recently.
We don't need Taps.
Actually. I know that you and your mom were very close, and I know how difficult this time must be for you. But I want to just let you know that we're here for you. And it's admirable that you came into work today, this week. You don't have to. We know it's a tough time for you. I'm sorry. If there's anything we can do, please let us know.
We don't really need to do anything.
Here's a commercial that Lisa May did yesterday. and you'll know what we're talking about.
Hi, it's Lisa. You know how they say that you never appreciate something until it's gone? Well, I'm doing my best to make sure that that is not the case with my mom. I realize that we're all getting older. One of these days, she's not going to be here. So I really do try to spend as much time with her as I can. But sometimes it's hard. Everyone has their own lives. That's why Mother's Day is so great, because it kind of forces you to stop and take some time and show your mom how much you really care.
Hey, Lisa, tell us more about your dead mom.
No, she's not dead. That's the point. And flowers from... Why don't you just leave the room? I don't need your help.
Well, we didn't know your mom was dead. We're just saying...
My mom is not...
It's sad that she's dead. And then not only is she dead, but you work her into a commercial. Isn't that a little crass?
A little tacky. A little tacky to start selling stuff. She's not even cold yet. Right. I mean, come on.
She's still alive.
Bean's not saying, hey, my mom's gone, but she sure would have loved gotomeeting.com. I'll tell you that.
Right.
Exactly. She could have enjoyed that.
Just something like that last year.
All right, maybe Bean does.
See, and here's the point. Bean's mom dead.
Right.
Hope she felt
your mom
appreciated
too, apparently.
When she was alive. My mom's still alive, trying to make her feel appreciated.
Okay, but let me ask you this, in all seriousness, and I know we joke because we love, but even, let's say hypothetically your mom isn't dead, just like hypothetically there's a show called Brothers and Sisters on the air, like you always claim, okay?
All right.
Aren't you pushing her into the ground with this commercial? Aren't you basically saying, this woman's on her last weeks. I better buy these flowers now because she may not be alive for summer. That's what it sounds like in the ad.
One of these days, she's not going to be here.
Right. It's like she's going to be gone before Sunday.
Well,
oh, my God. Sunday she may not make. I don't know. I got to give her some flowers on Thursday.
I have, over the last few years, been, because my mom's 78.
Okay.
Okay, which is a good, I mean.
Run.
Yeah.
Sure.
In fact, you're ready for her to pull down the curtain on this life?
I hope my mom lives to be 100, but 78 is not.
Hey, my dad died last year, but he sure could have used the bone marrow registry. I'm just saying it's odd that you work it into a commercial.
And
that's
my
all.
My dad is dead.
Right.
So that makes you, and Bean, you know this, that makes you much more aware of the one parent you still have left and how
right, but
you
I'm not
want
trying to kill the one
them.
Parent that I have left, though, like you are.
I'm not trying to kill her. I try to have lunch with her every other week now. We spend... One of these days, she's not going to be here. Exactly. That's my point. So I have a
Do you
big
call her
Mother's
up and,
ta-
and taunt her with that, though? I mean, like, every day on the phone, she pick up. She picks up and she goes, hello. And you go, one of these days, you're not going to be here, Mom. It's almost like a threat more than it is an observation.
My family is very One of these days, she's not going to be here. She actually takes me and shows me where she has everything for when she dies.
Oh, you're still alive, Mom. Wow, I thought I'd call and get the answering machine because you'd pass.
Well, I'm glad I didn't just stop paying the phone bill because I assumed you were dead. Sorry, Mom.
One of these days, she's not going to be here. She's just, still alive. Look, she's doing fine.
For a woman on her deathbed.
For a woman of 78.
On her deathbed.
Look, we all know that everyone, two things. Everyone poops and everyone dies.
That's
we all
true.
Know that, okay?
Exactly.
But it just seems like you're taunting her with you're rubbing it in her face by going on the radio saying, yeah, this lady's barely going to make this weekend.
I'll tell you. Really, I can't even see Sunday for her. Hopefully she'll get to UFC 113 on Saturday night, but I doubt she'll make it to Sunday.
Well, if I get her a gift this year for Mother's Day, I'll be sure to save the receipt because I can take it back on Wednesday, get my money back.
One of these days, she's not going to be here. Look, if one person picks up the phone and calls their mom,
right.
Because they heard that and
because
thought,
they heard
you
your mom's
what?
Dead and you
That's
didn't.
That's true. I need to appreciate my mom for it. Then I feel that my work is done.
Well, your work is done because you've broken your mother's heart. It's the last thing she's going to remember before she lays down for that long nap.
This killed her. Now I'm pretty sure of that.
Now she is going to die, and Bean's right. This is what she's going to take to the grave with her. Is it Lisa, her sweet daughter, wanted her to go.
One of these days, she's not going to be here.
There's a little joy in your voice.
Bean, did you hear a little joy in her voice there?
Yeah, absolutely. She's
a little bit. It sounds to me like someone's got their eye on a silver set.
Oh, right, like a celebration. Hey, sure, I can't wait for that
necklace.
Can't wait for that ring.
One of these days, she's not going to be here.
And then I get her stuff.
That's what's going on here, absolutely.
Come on, Lisa. Should we call her and make sure she's still okay?
No, we are not calling
We could call her. I'd like to make sure
she's
still alive. I don't know that I want
to
take your word for it.
My mom is fine. One of these days, she's not going to be here. My mom
That's it. By the way, there's a little joy in that, and there's also a little threat there. Bean, you hear the threat?
No, there's absolutely a threat. And what's unspoken is one of these days she's not going to be here, and then you can hear Lisa, her mind is working, going, but it won't be soon enough for me.
No, right. Exactly. It won't be soon enough, but if it doesn't happen by Sunday, I've got a pillow ready to go. You know what I mean?
One of these days she's not going to be here.
I'm not going to get her anything for Mother's Day because I'm going to snuff the life
I'm not
out of her.
Smothering my mother.
I think that's what you were saying.
No. You disgust me. Get out of here.
We hate you.
Stand back, everyone. The P is here. Petros Papadakis, ladies and gentlemen, from the Fox Sports nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. What's
Hi.
Up, P?
Sorry,
man.
Sorry I wasn't here yesterday. I screwed up.
No worries.
That's my bad. I love you guys, though. And I brought Alex, some producer Alex, some girl vodka. Just to kind of smooth it over.
What's girl vodka? Some kind of flavored?
Yeah. Blueberry. Blueberry. Yeah. I brought her up. Blueberry vodka. And I heard your salad bar, salad shooter, salad Bean. Sneeze guard
I
joke.
Was just saying, you know, because you no, can't project,
right.
That's all.
Yeah, I do. I have a little bit of a spitting and lisping problem, which you guys have really pronounced over the years. And I really appreciate
yes,
that.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, because when I walk around town and some indie rock kind of cool guy looking K-rock listener guy comes up to me and goes, hey, Petros,
how you doing?
It's very uplifting throughout the day.
Well, we haven't exactly downplayed it, if that's what you're saying.
No, you certainly have magnified all of my shortcomings. But God bless you all. It's great to be here.
I love that you brought a gift for producer Alex, who did not have to tap dance on the air for 40 minutes yesterday because you weren't here. That's what's great is that she gets the payoff. Kevin
well,
be
she
here.
Gets the payoff.
We get a hearty handshake.
Yes. Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Just a little salute. No, she gets the girl vodka because she booked me and I let her down. And I've never done that before. Usually,
well,
I'm very
professional. You broke America's heart. That's what happened yesterday.
And you know what? I started getting like, I'm the idiot that gave like, I don't know, probably about 500 of our listeners my text number.
Really?
So they could text me the secret textoso line.
Uh-huh.
It sounded good when I was talking about it on the air.
Why don't you give it now?
Well, I actually only give
it
via computer. No,
oh,
no.
Okay.
But you know, if I give it out on the air, then it's, you know, a free for all.
It's not when you put it on the internet, though.
No, it's not,
you're right.
Not
private.
As much.
It's impossible for that to get around.
I got a bunch of texts yesterday, like Kevin and Bean say they're going to kill you,
what?
And they're going to slit your throat from ear to ear, and Kevin and Bean are going to shank you in the food check line, like penitentiary style. You're going to be bench pressing, and Psycho Mike's going to drop a bar 315 right on your neck like
Bean.
Stephon Johnson.
We did say all that, but it was off the air.
That's kind of scary.
They know.
I'm happy to be here. Yes, I'm here to help.
What's the I follow your Twitter, of course. You and Money have a joint Twitter account. What was the thing from the dirty about you in a topless photo? What's that all about?
No, I'm trying to, you know me, I'm a hooker. I mean, I'll do commercials for anything.
Right.
The only thing I won't do commercials for is gambling because I'm involved with the NCAA and they tend to frown upon that kind of
Would
thing.
Would you
in
talk
our
about your
educational
dead mother in one of those commercials?
You know, I heard that, and I thought that's kind of depressing.
Well, that's what
you
I
know,
thought.
For Lisa to tell us all our moms are going to die,
that's
you know,
right,
right after this Mother's Day. It's kind of like, you know.
Or maybe before.
But we're all going to die, Lisa. Do you have to sit here and wave it in our faces,
right,
especially
in
the morning? Maybe if it was a nighttime show. Maybe if it was Coast to Coast with George Norrie, you know, and we could get some kind of, you know, reincarnation feeling or something. But gosh, Lisa,
morning,
tell everybody their mom's going to die in the morning. It's
Once
pretty rough.
While,
I think we're
going to
call her tomorrow. Make sure she's still with us.
I heard that you got.
I think there's a threat.
Well, what are you going to call it? The Crystal Cathedral and get them to, you know, put a wire straight up
the hotline to heaven. We got the hotline to heaven. No, but
work?
you said something about Nick Ritchie, who's the guy from The Dirty, right? Posting a topless photo of you in your Zubas. What? I have no idea. I don't. It feels like we're playing a match game or something. What are you talking about?
This is what happened, and I will clear this up immediately. As you know, I am a hooker and will do commercials for anything, including bankruptcy attorneys, one day paint and body.
Right.
I mean, the list goes on and on. 5-hour energy, hours of energy now, no
Woo!
Crash later. Visit 5hour.com for more information.
Take it easy. You don't have to do them here.
Chevrolet. And the P90X, which I guess is like this thing where you do sit-ups for like 10 minutes a day or something. Or, you know,
happy.
Yeah, you do some
over,
you do some neck exercises and you get out of there. Or, you know, you exercise your fingers. I don't know, whatever. They said they'd pay me. So I said, fine, yeah, I'll do your stupid program. And then they asked for photos of me with my shirt off and like a side photo of me, of my thickness. So, you know, I sent them the photos and suddenly, somehow, not only did I send them the photos, but Nick Ritchie, who came on the show the other day from thedirty.com, who I think his old name used to be like Corbin Grimes, and I think his real name is like Human Kamarian or something.
So he came up with something cooler?
Interesting guy. I think he's Iranian or Iranian, but I'm not really sure. Anyway, he's married now to that hot chick from The Bachelor that was with the English guy.
Okay, none of that matters.
Well, anyway, yeah.
Let's get back to your story.
He got it up there on the thing, and he came on the show, and he put the interview, and then a topless photo of me.
Yes.
And the thing is I'm on the dirty, and I'm looking at all these topless chicks, and they're all super hot or, you know, kind of trashy looking, and there's like 30 comments, 50 comments, 96 comments.
Uh-huh.
Topless Petros, Zubaz, looking swole, tatted up. Nothing. Nope, no comments.
Not one?
No,
no love?
Not one.
No
comment.
Love.
I'll comment after this.
You know what?
I will.
It would make me feel better. I don't care if it says Petros is fat or Petros looks like a giant white whale.
Just some kind of response.
Yeah, Petros looks like a narwhal with his long pointy nose. I mean, I don't care what you say. I just need some recognition. You know, I'm kind of hurt my feelings.
Well, I'm a boob man, so I enjoyed the photo very much.
Oh. You know what?
Oh. That's a nice set.
That's effed up. Because I don't have man boobs. And people say that to upset me, and it's
and
not
it
true. But it's not true, though.
Right. It may not be true, but it works. What's wrong with you?
If I had man boobs, I would tell everybody I had man
boobs.
That's
true.
And I don't have man boobs. And I think man boobs are pretty embarrassing. And, you know, I have a lot of things wrong with me. Like I was telling you guys about the cyst on my testicles right before we started on the show.
But that's fine for the morning, right?
That's fine. Testicle cysts are fine, but man boobs, that's not cool because I don't have them. I don't do the pec deck all day to have man boobs.
All right. Okay. All right, take it easy.
But you don't see, what? You don't do no pec deck, Psycho Mike? That's why you have man boobs.
I'm not a big pec deck
guy. I'm telling you, the pec deck is the key to not having man boobs.
I don't know what
boobs.
That means even.
The pec deck is that thing where you...
That
machine right. where you, right. where you squeeze on. Your boobs together.
All right, I got it.
Petros is doing commercials for them. Come on, Kevin, you know. All right, we need to leave it there briefly. When we come back, at some point, Petros, we'd like to talk about some of the many sports that are going on.
Wait
because there's
till
a
you
lot
see
of great sports stuff.
How seriously I answer your sports questions.
Oh, really? We're going to try something new today. Okay.
And how insightful I am upon answering. It's going to be, it's almost going to be like you guys have money on, but... With a
but
lisp.
Not quite that good.
But with okay. a lisp. And with a lisp and less numbers.
Right.
Petros Papadakis is here. We'll return after this on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And it is 7:38. We weren't on, P. We weren't on. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our friend Kevin Smith, writer, director, actor, frequent flyer, joins us next hour here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Right
Southwest.
Now, our other friend, Petros Papadakis, from the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show on Fox, is in Hi. Studio with us. We don't have a lot of time with you, P.
I'm ready to answer sports questions like a serious sports analyst.
All right.
How okay. about those Boston Celtics? Why don't we start there? No. How do,
They're
who
very
do you like
old
for,
and creaky. Oh, no. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What is your evaluation of how the NBA playoffs have been shaking out so far?
Well, I think it's interesting. Everybody's really beat up. I mean, the Lakers are beat down. Kobe's getting his knee drained.
Wait, are they beat up or they beat down? Because you're confusing me now.
I would say that it's a similar.
They're both the same.
Yeah, the same connotation all with right. beat up and beat down.
But
and
is Kobe, that true of all teams at this time of the year?
This time of year, yeah, but Kobe's got a lot of miles, man.
But
I mean,
Kobe
look
with
how
a lot
old,
of miles is still doing the job.
He's good. See, I knew I wasn't going to be able to talk because you're going to sit here and Laker out
but
and
isn't
protect
that true?
The Lakers. He's doing well right now. His ability to get all the way through these playoffs remains to be seen, and I think he can do it. I mean, the longer it goes, and you look at Phoenix and San Antonio, the Lakers are going to take care of Utah. They're even more beat up than the Lakers, and the problem is Andrew Bynum's knee is beat up, too.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
So there is a lot of ragtag dudes just kind of staggering towards the finish line, and LeBron James now with his elbow is one of them too in the East Coast. So it's really going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a great finish, I think. I don't think last year had the appeal that people wanted it to have. I mean, you had a Laker championship, and for some people that's good enough, but
right.
it didn't have the drama that we wanted, Lakers-Orlando, but Orlando's a great team right now. Boston is playing really good basketball. Cleveland, of course, has LeBron James, and they have had the NBA's best record the last 2 years. And then you look out here in the West, and the Lakers are by far and away the most talented team, but the chemistry's a little weird because, let's be honest, Kobe's a hard guy to play with. You never really know what he's going to do on any given night. Is he going to start passing the ball? Is he going to facilitate? Is he going to try to score? Is he going to give that weird, angry, I have teeth, mean mug after he after he gets an and one? Arr, you know, and look all mad at all the fans that are paying thousands of dollars at Staples Center. It'll be interesting to see. I think the Lakers will get to the finals. What they'll
do you think
do,
Cleveland will, too?
I would like to think so, but I think Orlandito right now, even though they've only played two pretty bad teams in the playoffs thus far, I mean, they're kind of going through the worst of the NBA playoffs and what they have to offer. I think Orlando is going to give them a run for their money if they make it to the finals. And remember, the Lakers don't have home court advantage if they play Cleveland or Orlando. Both those teams had a better record than the Lakers. So it's going to be interesting. This year, I think it's going to go on for a lot longer, and there will be more drama involved. I don't know who's going to win.
Series that go seven?
Yeah. I think six or seven. Yeah, even in the next round with the Lakers, if they're playing San Antonio or Phoenix, I think you're going to have more drama just because they're beat up and they still have chemistry problems. The Ron Artest thing did not help the Lakers out because he didn't really understand how to run their offense.
Well, he's crazy, too.
Yeah, he's definitely crazy. Yeah, he's badass crazy.
There's that.
Do you even have a team that you pull for, or are you pretty much just an impartial observer?
If there's a white guy, you know, out there, you know, I'll get behind a white dude.
But there's not.
any Greeks left in the playoffs?
No, I don't think we have any. Sakalidis was in the league a few years back. Let me ask you
for a comment on your radio partner and life partner, Matt Moneysmith.
Yeah, my radio husband.
I think he put up a very interesting blog on Fox Sports the other day talking about would sports fans prefer to see a boring blowout or would they prefer to see a close game if your team is going to win both? Which would you rather have?
I think it was a really interesting point, and he brought it up yesterday on the radio, and I was kind of like, Matt, how long have you been in L.A., man? I mean, he's been here now 20 years from Chicago, which is a passionate sports town, obviously. Did you just move your water, Lisa, because I'm spitting in it?
No.
All right, she took a drink.
Now you're all self-conscious.
I'm just saying, well, because being in the sneeze guard.
You can't let him get to you.
The point is that Matt is just getting used to the fact that Laker fans, they don't want to go to the game and see a great game. They don't really want to look at the score. They just want to see that the Lakers are up 20 and go and look at all the silicone boobs in the lower bowl at Staples Center. Well, that's what they want. I mean, there is not a passionate fan base here in L.A. It's more of a, okay, oh, the Lakers are winning? Okay, everything's okay. Let's go to Ledoux. That's really kind of more
First of all, that's dumb.
No, but it's true, though.
But his point was, and what drove it home, I understand why you think that, Kevin, but what drove it home is the memorable series that Lakers fans have are the ones where it wasn't easy, the ones where they barely won, the ones where they came from behind. Those you don't remember anything about the season that they went 15-1 in the playoffs is a blur. Nobody remembers a single game of that except for the one they lost.
No, of course you will remember the ones that are close and you're not sure you were going to make and that kind of stuff. Of course, that stands in your mind.
But as a fan, though, you should want to be entertained.
Of course,
as opposed to just placated with victory, you should want to be entertained. But that's not how some people look at the teams that they support, especially with the Lakers. Especially in LA, especially with the playoffs, and especially now I know you have a bunch of listeners that are going, what the hell, P, what LA? We love the Lakers. It's like, yeah, but you're in the upper bowl and no one can hear you. You're very far away from the crowd. That lower bowl is just people trying to be seen. Most of them don't even know there's a basketball game going
on. There is a lot of that.
And I think now that Matt has been here 20 years, he's starting to see, yeah, maybe people in LA are a little fickle when it comes to their sports.
There was one game where I was watching a Laker game and I was sitting next to, just by happenstance, I had great seats and I was sitting next to Arnold Schwarzenegger, just by complete coincidence, and he had his kid there, and he didn't understand one bit of basketball.
His agent has the tickets, or his agency has the tickets, and, you know, I want to be seen.
So
okay,
they'd blow
get
the whistle,
out there.
And he and his kid would say, what's that? And he would turn to me and say, well, it just happened. And I would say, they call palming. What is palming? And then I would explain it to him. And I thought it was funny because I'm sitting next to Arnold having this conversation for the first
time. And you voted for him, by the way.
For the first 5 minutes. But then after that, I was like, dude, you
can't. And then he was done and disinterested.
No, he kept asking the whole game. What just happened?
Basketball.
They made a basket, you dumbass.
How hard is basketball to figure out?
That's what I thought.
But, Kevin, I would imagine if you look back at the last series that the Lakers had against Oklahoma City, the game that I would have enjoyed the most would have been the one where Powell won at the end at the last second
where they
pulled it out, 95-94. Yet I bet a lot of Lakers fans most enjoyed the games that they won by 20 that were never in question.
It's also indicative of the way our society is today. You know, we don't want to be stressed out with anything. We have instant gratification with almost everything. You work out with Psycho Mike for 8 hours and all of a sudden you look like Jack LaLanne. I mean, that's just how the world is now. Microwave dinners, all these dot-coms, everything's fast, fast, fast. And we don't want to be engaged in the game for four quarters. We want to look at the game and say, oh, okay, my team's going to win. Okay, let me go move on with my life and get on the Twitter
page. I'll tell you what, it does help with the Lakers that you have good good closer like Kobe. I mean, that helps a lot. Like, I'm a Los Angeles Kings fan. They just had a series they went through, and they were ahead 2-1 going to the third period. But you don't have that confidence that they're going to be able to close it out like you do with the Lakers.
Especially with this current series. You're playing a team in the Utah Jazz that is going to play hard, and they're going to be there because they're well coached. They're not big enough to beat the Lakers. And even if the Lakers are only up 2 or 4 points in the fourth quarter, you never really get that feeling like they're out of control in the game or they're going to lose. And part of that is because Kobe Bryant is such a anomaly, such a transcendent type of athlete. But he's got a lot of miles on him, and he is now on the downside of his career. So enjoy it while you can. It's going to be a few more years, and I don't think LeBron James is ever going to not win the MVP as long as he is a grown-up. And I mean, listen, guys, I've never seen an athlete like that in my life.
Yeah, I know.
That's the best athlete I've ever seen in person in my life. Him and Usain Bolt, the sprinter from Jamaica. Right. Those are the two best athletes in the world.
Science says that Bolt is 50 years ahead of where speedrunners should be right now.
Well, that's a creepy thing.
How
about
far ahead of the field
he is.
It's
science?
Amazing. Yeah.
You know, you watch LeBron James, you know, dunk on everybody's neck and put his balls in everybody's face out there on TV. Well, that's what he's doing.
He really does get that high.
You watch him do that, and it's like, wow, is he playing against my 8th grade basketball team? No, he's playing against the best people in the world. Usain Bolt, when he's sprinting against people, he's 10 yards away from
the field. He makes him look foolish.
These are the world's elite sprinters. It's not like he's running against, you know, legless people in the Special Olympics. It's unbelievable. You know, what
that
guy
can do. I'd like to see that, though.
Yeah,
we have to leave it there for right now, but will you stick around and join us for Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next?
I will. I'll do it. I don't want to, step on any toes. I just,
Ralph loves you.
I love
Hang
Ralph.
Around. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, taking over Six Flags Magic Mountain Friday, May 14th. That's a week from tomorrow. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets, and you can join K-Rock's Nicole Alvarez as she broadcasts live from Six Flags Magic Mountain. Your chance to win coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:56.
The P is with us here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. He joins us along with Ralph Dunn for the show Biz Beat. Kevin Smith, minutes away.
P-squared?
From right now on the show, too.
P-squared, that's what I call him.
P-squared, sure, yeah.
That's how I roll.
That's how you roll.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, before I get to the showbiz news, let me give away some tickets. Passes to the advanced screening of Robin Hood. Sir Robin of Locksley. Normans versus Saxons. Robin versus Prince John and the Sheriff of Nottingham. God, I love this story.
I do, too.
God, it's good.
There's been some bad movies about it, though.
There have.
Costner geeked it. Come on, he was good. I was inspired. And that curly black-haired girl in there.
Remember Mel Brooks's Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Yes.
His spoof of Robin Hood?
Dave Chappelle?
That's right. Dave Chappelle was in that. Cary Elwes from Princess Bride played Robin in that movie.
That was funny.
Here's your trivia question, though. A lot of people don't know. That was not Mel Brooks's first Robin Hood parody.
Huh.
He took a shot at Robin Hood years before he made that movie. Not as successfully. Not a lot of people saw it. But we're getting towards the end of the week. I'm running out of these tickets. I got to get tougher with my trivia questions. So if you know the name of the first Mel Brooks Robin Hood parody, call now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five people through with the correct answer win a pair of passes to see our special Kevin and Bean advance screening of Robin Hood with Russell Crowe.
Crikey.
Interesting list from the folks at Google. They've told us who are the 50 most popular women on the internet.
The ones that people search for the most?
This is based on internet searches, and I thought I'd go through some of the numbers and see where you think they ranked and whether it's appropriate or not.
Is there a BBW in there?
BBW? Oh, yeah, there's several. For instance, oddly enough, this is top 50. Scarlett Johansson, only 49th on the list.
Oh, what?
Now, it's not hotness, mind you, Kevin, but it's in terms of search numbers.
Right.
She doesn't get naked enough.
Yep. So a lot of people aren't that interested in seeing
it. Kevin's computer apparently was not used in the survey.
Yeah, they didn't ask me.
Tina Fey was 47th, for example, beat out Scarlett Johansson.
She didn't get naked either.
Marilyn Monroe.
Which kind of makes sense just because she's everywhere. You know, she's been on so many shows and everything.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Marilyn Monroe, even in her death, is 36th on the list.
Wow.
Just beating her out is Heidi Montag, 35th on the list.
Mm.
Betty White is 29th on the list.
My computer must have been in the survey.
Why do you hate everybody that's old?
Kevin does hate old people.
It's called ageism, man.
I live in an area.
Happens to the best of us, man. Happens to the best of us.
I live in an area that is all old people in Tarzana. And it's basically just where old people get in their cars and drive around and wait to die.
Embrace their wisdom. Slowly. Embrace their wisdom.
They don't have wisdom. They have pudding. That's it. There's no wisdom. The days of wisdom were 10 years ago.
And by the way, don't mock pudding.
Now, pudding's good. I'm saying, but that's
sometimes
all they
pudding's
have.
Better than wisdom, in my opinion.
Kevin, right. You will accept in a couple of years when you're the age of the people you now mock, you will accept young people mocking you, right?
Of course.
Okay, good.
That already happens.
And you're all tall. You'll be all hunched.
Yeah. You'll be that big bulbous back guy, or when everyone looks at it and immediately starts straightening up their own spines because they get all skeeved out by it.
How dare you.
Kim Kardashian's 23rd on the list.
Sorry.
Katy
go.
Perry is 22nd. Jessica Simpson's 19th. Sarah Palin is 18th.
Okay.
Megan Fox is 15th on list.
There's 15th! Yeah, that's my question. There's 14 people above her?
Oprah is above her at 14.
Well...
Right. Shakira is above her at 11. Short.
But again, like Ralph said, Kevin, it's not hot, so people could be Googling Oprah because they want to find out what the book is this month. I mean, there's lots of reasons they could be Googling her.
Or how she's kept her lesbianism so secret.
Exactly. Yeah. As an example.
Fascinating.
You think she hails from the Isle of Lesbos?
When did this list come out, Ralph? Do you know?
Today.
Today. Okay, yeah. So Shakira might be there because of the World Cup song.
She went to Waka
Waka.
Arizona.
Waka Waka.
Oh, Waka Waka. We got to talk about Waka Waka.
I swear to God, that's the name of the official World Cup song, Waka Waka.
Fozzie Bear wrote the World Cup song?
Yes.
Yeah, soccer.
And famous South African Shakira sings it.
Yeah, it's honked up on every level. Miley Cyrus is 8th on the list.
Oh, man.
Inexplicable popularity, this Miley Cyrus.
Gums, yeah. Man. People love gums.
They do.
This is the top 50 women on the internet. Keep in mind, number 7, Justin Bieber. 7th is Justin Bieber.
That's about right.
Britney Spears is 6th. Rihanna, 5. Beyonce, 4th. Madonna, 3rd. Kevin's crush, Kesha. $ha. Is second on the list. Who do you think the number one most Googled woman on the internet is?
Joan Rivers.
Nope.
I got some guesses.
I have some guesses. Lady Gaga or Kristen Stewart?
Kristen Stewart would have been a good guess, but it is Lady Gaga. Yes.
Lady Gaga.
Once again, Psycho Mike wins something. Let's get him a Cheech and Chong DVD or something.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Oh, I'm out of time. I'm out of time already. We got to answer my trivia question?
We do.
Let's talk to Raphael, shall we?
Aye, aye, aye.
Raphael!
Yes?
What was the name of Mel Brooks' first Robin Hood parody?
When Things Were Rotten.
When Things Were Rotten! It was a sitcom. It was a TV show he developed in 1975 based on Robin Hood, and it was a spoof, and it was actually very funny, but did not last very long. Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see Russell Crowe's Robin Hood.
They're excellent.
Jonathan, Eddie, Brian, and Mike, congratulations. You also are big, 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 big ones.
Sure, if he said excellent or he called you your excellence.
I believe he called me your excellence, and I think you all should follow suit. He shows great taste. Today's celebrity birthdays, Tom Bergeron.
Yeah!
Host of Dancing with the Stars.
How excited could you be?
Oh, Berge's the man.
He's not going to offend anybody. Ever.
Right. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. What does that mean?
Just a straight-up host guy. Not going to do anything weird.
He's good at what he does. It's hard to host. You were a host of Pros versus Joes. You know how hard it is to host a TV show.
So hard I got fired.
That's right. You weren't very good at it, were you? See? Some people are better. Roma Downey is 50 years old today. George Clooney celebrates his 49th birthday.
The most deserving among men.
He really does get a bell. He's the only guy that automatically gets a bell
as
well.
Yeah.
Have you seen his French coffee commercials for Nescafe?
You showed us on the computer the other day.
Oh, my God.
Find them on the internet and watch them. He is so endlessly charming and fascinating and delicious.
You love him.
I love George Clooney.
You should marry him.
I wish I could.
He would.
I would if I could. Chris Shiflett of Foo Fighters is 39 years old. Gabory Sidibe is 27 years old today.
Give her the bell.
Give her the big one, though.
She's beautiful. Inside and out.
Inside.
There you go. There you go. That's the bell.
Adrian Palicki of Friday Night Lights celebrates her 27th birthday today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Always a pleasure for us when our friend Kevin Smith stops by. He has just joined us here in the studio. And I got to be honest, I'm a little bit surprised to see Kevin. I thought you'd still be partying from Free Comic Book Day over the weekend, but somehow you've recovered, managed to pull it together and come in.
I did celebrate. Perhaps I over-celebrated Free Comic Book Day a bit too much. I imbibed. I ate way too many comics.
But they're free.
You celebrate it?
Free. It's so hard to turn them down.
At the counter was like, you know, take all you want, but eat all you take. And I was like, all right. Yeah, what a great day that is, man. May 1st every year now is Free Comic Book Day across the world.
Yeah, international as free comic book day. Did you hear about the dude in the Spider-Man costume?
Who foiled the robbery?
Who foiled the robbery? How awesome is that
guy? I heard that story literally as I was turning a corner off of Sunset and saw a dude, the dude dressed like Superman. And I was just like, if
only. Heading towards Grauman's Chinese Theater?
Yes. Yeah. But if only that was the world where people just walked around foiling crimes in garish costumes.
Isn't that going to ruin this guy's life, though? Because now he was dressed as a superhero and stopped a crime. And now
they're going to ruin his life.
Everything else is downhill from there.
I believe that took place in Adelaide, Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody from Adelaide says that is the first story. You have to check it. I can't believe this is true. The first story that's ever went international from the Adelaide newspaper.
<That's> wow.
And they were like, we should all be proud.
That's
hey,
a good
Crocky.
One. That's a good one.
You seem like the kind of guy who may have dressed... You and Ralph both, by the way, seem like the kinds of guys who may have dressed up as superheroes a la Kick-Ass at some point in your youth.
They don't make costumes of my size, sir.
And you remember the time when you were
costumes from where the wild things are. You finger pointer. We've seen you in a costume, sir.
Right? I'm not saying that I don't have a costume. I'm just saying I can't believe you didn't pretend to be Spider-Man or somebody when you were coming up.
You
That's
can only
all.
Dress up as Jabba so many times before people go, "What are you? What kind of worm creature is that?" I'm like, it's from Return of the Jedi. It was the only fat guy in the Star Wars universe. Him and Porkins. Hey man, speaking of comic books, guess what happens
yes.
tomorrow?
What
Did
happens
you see to- it yet?
No, I have not seen it yet.
Oh, Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait.
How I'm have you not early, seen man. It yet? You're Kevin Smith.
I've been on the road. Can I tell you what I've been doing?
Yeah.
I was on the road all last week. We did a Smodcast tour. You know, I do that podcast.
Right. Right?
Me and Scott Mosier took it on the road, and we went to York, Pennsylvania. Where did we go?
On
Cleveland.
Purpose? You went to York on purpose?
Yeah. Where they make the York peppermint patty, where it was created.
I got family in York.
It's all right.
It's not.
You didn't like it? They had some troubles there, man, at one point with the mayor and whatnot.
Wait, and then you went to Cleveland on purpose?
Then I went to Cleveland accidentally on purpose. Two awesome shows at this place called Peabody's, which is like a real kind of rock and roll dive, man, in a good way. And then we went to Fargo, we went to Duluth, and then we went to Billings and San Francisco.
Wow.
It was a weird lineup, but we just kind of pulled together the tour of like small
houses. I gotta
tell
you, that's like my version of hell.
Yeah, it was, I enjoyed it. I had a great time, man. But it was dope. It was just me and him sitting on a stage, essentially doing what you guys do, but we don't have to.
But Kevin,
worry
Kevin,
about
Kevin.
The not nearly as good either. Yes, sir. What is it?
What makes you, millionaire filmmaker and international sex symbol, pick up the phone and go, hey, book me a date in Fargo, North Dakota? What? I mean, why would you choose Fargo?
We threw out the hook of, like, who wants to do live nude smod, and these were the places that got back to us. Like, generally speaking, I go out and do Q&As all the time.
Right, right.
But my Q&A, I guess, has become too pricey for some places.
Well, you do charge $1,000 a ticket, and that seems odd.
That's for standing room.
That's for standing room only.
I got to put a kid through college one day, man. and so those cats that can't get into those shows or those theaters that can't book it, now they got Smodcast. We do it for like way cheaper and stuff.
Sure.
Okay.
So it affords you. And also we don't do bigger venues. Like it's a kind of place you want to do small. So we do like 300 seaters. So all these little interesting venues, and when I say interesting, boy, do I mean interesting, across the country like popped up. And so we were able to organize this little tour. And
right.
It was cool. But it was so inspiring. This is my big news. It was so inspiring to me. Like, the whole time I'm on tour, I'm going to these little theaters, and I'm like, I really want to own a black box theater in Los Angeles. Like, my own theater kind of thing, where we could do whatever we want anytime.
Right.
And then my friend Matt Cohen, like, I was tweeting about this, uh-huh. And my friend Matt Cohen went out and did the legwork, and now we have a theater.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Theater.
Yeah, I didn't buy it. I'm renting it. I'm renting the theater. I mean, that's even smarter. I told my accountant. I was like, I'm thinking of buying. She's like, please just rent. And I was like, okay. And we made a pretty cool deal with this dude. We went over and met him. He runs this place called The Complex on Santa Monica. A bunch of little stages.
I know those theaters.
You know the theaters.
Yeah.
There's one
right
that's
near
empty.
The Hudson there?
It's between Wilcox and Cola.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's one place that's empty. We went and looked at it yesterday, and we're calling it the Smod Castle.
How about that?
Look at that.
That was from some dude on Twitter. Man, that's why I love Twitter. I was just like talking about this space. Because Twitter, man, will make you think anything's a good idea.
Of course.
Everyone's like, oh, buy that theater. I'm like, I should. They told me. Total strangers.
It's the marijuana of technology.
It really is. Go ahead, do it. Or don't do it. That kind of thing.
Well, so, yeah, most of us have had to stop following you because of the voluminous amount of Twittering.
I can't
you
follow you. I know that. But I'm happy to hear
I'm
about your theater.
I follow you, man.
You
that's
dominate.
Unfair. Are you telling me you're not following me anymore?
But you
no,
dominate.
No. I am.
Listen to how quickly backtrack.
Hey, we need to hear more about this theater.
Dude, it's going to be awesome.
We need to hear more about this and what you plan to to present there, but we have to take a quick break. By the way, I totally approve of that location. You're within walking distance of that post office over there on Cole, too. So
yes.
good work on you.
We can mail things like you read about or wash our cars across the street.
Wow. Kevin Smith is here. We'll return and hear more about this and tell you how you can see Kevin live and in person tomorrow night right after this on The Kevin and Bean. Actor, director, writer Kevin Smith in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, bringing his plane of hate, Talking Dirty at the House of Blues show to the Sunset Strip. That is going to be tomorrow night. Now, help me out here, Mr. Smith, because I understand that you are sold out, yet you continue to gouge your fans by offering standing room only tickets. Is that accurate?
Yeah, of course. I'm like, anywhere I can squeeze a body. There's some bathroom seating. Some people can sit outside, listen through a crack in the door. Those seats sell for $5. Okay. From what I understand, all the seated seats are sold, but these House of Blues venues, they do I don't go out much, so I don't know about this kind of thing, but as I've been doing lots of Q&A lately, I've noticed there's people that just stand. They sell standing room tickets.
For a lot of concerts at a place like the House of Blues, people will stand.
For a concert.
Well, they've got a dining area up there, and you can stand around the balcony, around the perimeter of the railing there, and look down
and look down at my bald spot.
Wear a hat.
I'm going to definitely wear a hat. Otherwise, people are going to be spitting on it. I might do them a favor, just paint a little target on it. That way, they are involved in the show.
You should get
a
sponsor and put a logo or something.
Fleshlight. Right on my top. Fleshlight sponsors our podcast.
I heard that. That's hilarious, by the way.
And now I hear
Joe Rogan is using Fleshlight, too.
Using Fleshlight, indeed. We all use Fleshlight.
His manager tried to talk him out of it.
His
manager tried to talk him out of it. Joe said, I think it's fine. I think it's great. Let's do it.
There were definitely some people that were like, you don't want to do that. And I was like, why? It's a product I believe in. I love it. I literally love it. In the biblical fashion, I know it.
Hey. Sometimes you got a long, lonely weekend ahead of you.
Satisfied customer, Kevin Smith says.
Totally.
Buy a flashlight.
I will never use my hand again, Kevin Smith. For anything, Kevin Smith. House of Blues, there's standing room only tickets left. I think they're like $30 or something. But would you really want to stand there for 3 hours watch a fat guy talk about his wiener?
If I were a big Kevin Smith fan, I would enjoy it very much.
You have a way of doing it. Yeah,
that's true.
You promised me you were going to cap it at 3 hours,
yeah,
because
we're done
knowing
at
three. You, sometimes you know
there have three, been times
you're
where
the,
I've
you're
gone
the Springsteen of conversation,
and then your legs just give out.
Kevin Smith is just getting started at 3 hours. Usually,
three is when the good stuff comes in.
Yeah,
you don't go to a therapist, do you, Kevin?
No, I just do these shows, man.
Okay,
they pay me for my therapy. I get up there, I'm like, I'm so fat. They're like, no, you're not. You're a good guy. I'm like, thanks, everybody. And I go home and I feel good about myself.
Because I was just imagining, you know, those things usually tap out at like 45 or 50 minutes. I was just imagining the poor therapist would be like, get to the point. You can't get to any point in 45 minutes.
No way, man.
You can't start.
The therapist hour wouldn't work on me. The therapist hour would have to change from like 50 minutes to about 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah. Between all the stage shows you do and the frequent Smodcast, like at the new theater that you were describing, you may be one of the most accessible to his fans stars that has ever lived.
Yeah,
I mean, you press a lot of flesh, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And the idea is like, look, those are your employers. Without those cats, you got no gig. So for me, it always made sense to like just stage dives, as it were, into the audience all the time.
Would you please stage dive?
No, that I would never do. I like my fans too much. But I just like to interact with them on a regular basis. So like the Q&As give you a chance to do that. Twitter affords you the opportunity to do that on a regular basis.
What's the question that you get asked the most? You go everywhere, and so many people ask you questions. There has to be one overriding one, or no?
No, it changes. It used to be back in the day, people would be like, tell us about Superman. But once that DVD came out, even Kevin Smith put most of the stories on it, it changes.
So now it's always different.
Lately, there'll be runs where it's just like for the last 6 months, people are like, what's it like working with Bruce Willis? So you get that a little bit.
Right, and you have a good answer for that.
You're handling that.
I have an hour-long answer. Which grows as time goes on. The further we get from the movie, that story gets longer and longer.
And you can't tell us any of that on the air.
Not yet, but boy, one day.
It was.
I'm heading for a one-man show. That's my.
You definitely are.
Yeah, yeah. My dream is the one-man show off Broadway.
All right.
Yeah. Do a six-month run. Call it What You Talking About, Willis.
I like it.
It's a story of making cop out.
You can debut it in your own theater first.
I can workshop it in my little theater. I'm telling you, that theater. Yeah, it captured my imagination in the way that, like, a naked girl did when I was 12.
I've rarely seen you this excited.
I'm so excited. Yeah. It's just the idea of having the space. And we were saying off air, like, you could be, I mean, we'll do, like, every Saturday we'll do a live Smodcast. Mm-hmm. And then, so basically every week we do Smodcast on Sunday night. Now Smodcast will be live on Saturday and then the one show on Sunday that we always normally
do.
But I was saying before, like, you could be home on Twitter and be like, it's 8 o'clock, I'm bored, my wife fell asleep, I'm obviously not going to get laid. what do I want to do tonight? And be like, hey, man, who wants to do a show at midnight? And you get 50 people to show up, you go open the theater, and boom, you're doing a show.
So you have the key?
They better give me the key, and I hope so.
It's just weird picturing you walking up to your own theater, putting the key in.
A bunch of people out in front. I'm like, come on in, everybody, hit those lights. Somebody take the Yoo-hoo out of the freezer. It'll be a real, like, Little Rascals affair, man. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we're always going to put on shows. I'll be like, pay as you exit.
Are you good?
We are so close to Jersey Girl the Musical. I can see it now. That's definitely going to go
out. I'm not going to let that one die. I'm like, you'll see it works as a musical.
That's right.
in front of 50 people, it's a brilliant film and musical.
Do you do the show because you have a lot of things on your mind that you really want to talk about? Is that the draw for you?
I just like talking, man. I mean, look, anybody, you guys know this. You make people laugh. It feels good. There's nothing. I read George Carlin's book, his autobiography, called it a sort of biography. And he has this wonderful passage where he talks about when you get somebody to laugh, they are at their absolutely most vulnerable and their most honest. That is who they are.
Right.
Because when you're laughing, you're completely unguarded. That's like, that's not the presentation of who I am. It's not all the things I should do in public. It is exactly who you are. He said at that moment in time, people are so fertile. Well, yeah, and that's when you hit them hard. They're fertile. You could drop ideas into them, and that's where it has a chance to kind of grow the best.
Right.
To me, that's it's truth. When I read that, I was like, oh, that's why I do what I do.
We should make people laugh.
You do.
I didn't try that on the show.
You,
yeah,
you guys,
that's
know.
A good idea.
We should try that.
Good luck.
No, you do the making them laugh part. Now you got to give them ideas. Send us money.
Gotta get that first.
We've been planting seeds for years.
You have no idea. You have the fertile ground, but you're just salting the earth by not exactly get some money out of these people. It'll be so much fun, man. And also it's a space that could be used for anybody else. Once we build it up into something where it's like, you know, has a name cachet value. Then other people come record their podcasts and stuff like that.
Make snuff films, whatever they want to do.
Absolutely.
Your space, right?
You could literally shoot a movie in there. This room is so all-purpose, it's amazing. I haven't signed my lease, so I don't know why I'm talking about it. The dude's going to be jacking the place up. He's like, I heard about this on K-Rock.
That sounds like a great idea.
Totally. But, oh, man, I can't wait. That's the thing I'm looking forward to.
Are you going
to
be renting it out for Sweet 16 and Kinsey Euro parties and things like that, too?
I'm going to have my kid's birthday party every year. We hold it at the house, and it's such a pain in the ass. This year, theater. I'm gonna hold it there, yeah, and charge people to come to our party.
Station Christmas party, because last year it was in the lobby of a business building.
Yeah,
this will be the place, dude.
Well, have
you totally come here? It's 50, and you could sit another 100 on the stage. The stage is way bigger than the audience.
You should get a projector too and a screen. You could have screenings.
We're doing that. Last night we looked at, rather than buy the stage standard projector, we're going to buy one of those inflatable outdoor screens. We got a 16 footer. We priced out. It's real cheap. You blow it up. You can watch movies, or you can take it down. One of the things we want to do is tournament, Xbox tournament, playing EA Sports
Love
NHL
it.
10. Isn't that awesome?
Love it.
On a 16-foot screen?
Wow.
You and me, dude, we're sitting there
Love
playing
it.
Xbox against one another. 50
ass,
people watching. You might.
All right.
You might, but I'm dirty. And I'll have the room on my side. The room will be with me.
And if you're losing, you just pull the plug. You own the place. What can you do?
Exactly. I'm like, he's got me by three. I'm like, I don't know what happened. Cold wiring in these buildings.
Could the Kevin and Bean Rock Band Melfon play there?
Yes! The stage is big enough where you could put a whole band on it.
I get a feeling there's no idea you could give him right now. He would say no to it.
I'm serious. We were saying off air. It's just like,
can we set it on fire and have a marshmallow roast?
Yes!
That'd be a great idea.
Can we hold the World Cup finals there?
Yes! Come right, there, Kevin, and if my wife is there, you may have sex with my wife. Yes! Right. Anything's
Kevin
possible
Smith
at the Smod Castle.
Is here. You can see him on stage. You'll be standing, but he'll be on stage tomorrow night at the House of Blues Sunset Strip. You can go to his website, viewaskew.com, for all those details. A quick break. We return with more of Kevin right after this. Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, joins us in about 20 minutes or so, coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, our friend Kevin Smith is in studio.
Hello.
A couple of quick questions from the email, if you don't mind, real fast. Hey, guys, could you ask Kevin what his favorite beer is? I'm just curious. That's from Tim. He wants to know.
Root beer.
Okay, good
beer
answer.
Straight from the root. Sugar root.
Josh,
I'm not an alcohol guy. I'm a weed guy.
Okay, that's the next question. Josh says, hey, guys, I want to know, how stoned is Kevin Smith right now? Would you mind asking? Thanks, love the show.
This morning. I got
you
up.
Don't sound stoned to me
at all. No, generally speaking, I get up at like, it's weird. I'm still a relatively new stoner. I've only been doing it hardcore for about 2 years now.
Right.
So there's still like, I should get up and smoke while nobody's awake. So what I'll do is get up at like 5 in the morning, generally speaking, or 4, and start smoking, tweeting, and or writing. Get real creative while everyone's asleep. Today I knew I had to come in here at 8, and I've got that reputation for lateness. So
Hello.
I didn't want. I got up at 6, and I was like, the best thing I could do is take a shower, because you look at me. There's so much mass here. It takes a while to cover every inch. So I said I'd do that first, and then come out to the show and whatnot. So I immediately showered. got dressed. My wife was like, "You're ready so early." I was like, "I know." I'm
you were
like,
here early
guys.
Too.
I know. Shocked. I was ready to go.
You have shattered.
I
your
wanted
reputation
to answer the question. I was sitting in my car, going like, "When things were rotten."
Oh, the Mel Brooks question.
Yeah, I wanted to call in. You said the number. I missed the last two. I wanted to win so bad.
That's so funny.
I want to see Robin Hood. They wouldn't have to give me the tickets, right? They couldn't be like, "You're not eligible for the show."
We'd have to give them to you if you want. If you legit,
I think so.
Right?
I think
you're not employed.
Well, I don't know. Is he an employee?
Us?
I don't know. Maybe.
No.
By now.
We
tried,
but we can't get there.
I think it would look suspicious. It would look suspicious if he were to win, I think.
Really?
Because
look,
we do.
Yeah,
Heather
Mills just won tickets at some British radio station for a concert. They gave
right,
her.
Right, but she's not on their show all the time and is friends with the host, though.
I think technically it would
suspicious.
Be good.
Totally.
I mean, technically we'd be fine
with it. It would prove that everybody wins.
That's right.
Even winners win.
Exactly. All right, let me ask you this question, because you made reference to the fact that you're going to see Iron Man like the rest of the world.
Heavens,
you're going to
yes.
see it.
I'm
you
seeing
you're
it
see
tomorrow.
It early?
I'm going to the earliest show possible.
Midnight show Thursday.
Well, I don't like doing that because that's going to be crowded. But when you go on the Friday opening
like
morning
noon
in Los
whatever.
Angeles, no, yeah. 9 o'clock.
That's the way to go.
Oh, you're sharing it with like 20, 50 people max. Yeah. It's a good crowd. Like when I went to see X-Men 2 opening day at Grohmann's, that was like a 9:20 show, and it was maybe 50, 75 people. So enough to get a good
perfect
going.
That's what I was
going
to ask.
That's the place to see, though, too, is in the city.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, don't go to any of the theaters, early shows in the burbs or in the valley.
Okay.
Here in L.A.
I like, especially for movies like this, I like the crowd. Of opening day crowd, the opening day crowd is special.
Many,
they've been
many.
Looking
I'm
forward
with
to
you,
it,
but it's like it's still like for, well for me. There's no anonymity, particularly in a comic book
movie. Of course,
for
you, yeah.
So for me, you know, 50, 75 is good because like at X-Men 2, most people were watching me, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Nightcrawler's up there, bamfing in and out of the room, and they're just we want to see the fat dude's reaction. So I tend to like come in late, sit in the back, and whatnot. But I like 50 to 75.
Tell me this, Kevin, as a movie director,
I've never directed a movie. First,
do
of all.
You?
No, Kevin Smith.
Oh, do you look at that movie and are you able
jealous?
To just sit back and enjoy it, or are you able to look at it and concentrate on what Jon Favreau had to do in order to make Iron Man 2?
I'm able to turn it off and just be an audience guy. Like I look at a movie like that, I'm like way too ambitious for me, so I could never do it. So I can never sit there and go like, this is what I do, because it's just like, for me it's like watching Star Wars or Indiana Jones. Like I don't watch those movies and go, here's what I would do differently.
Are
I just
you,
watch them and go, I could never do that.
Are you more critical, do you think, because you're in the business?
No.
Are you, you're not. You know,
it depends.
The storyline, like,
no, because I've taken so much crap for the movies I've made, it feels bad. Or it would feel weird to act like some kind of authority on somebody else's
Well, it's not
movie.
Just that. It's that you're working in the craft and you've had to come up with storyline.
Totally.
And
you appreciate. But you also appreciate, like, for me, I don't think that I'll never see a movie that's so god-awful again that I'm like, this is the worst movie ever made. You know everything that goes into the making of them.
Right.
I'm not saying, like, come on, give Cop Out a pass. I'm just saying so much goes into the making of a movie. It's ridiculous when people write it off going, nobody cared. Obviously, this is just a bunch of hacks who aren't, you know, clearly thinking about their job. They just did it for the money. You
right.
know, there's a little more involved. So you tend to give even movies that most people are like, oh, it's crap. Like Gigli. You know, people were like, I hated Gigli. I was able to look at Gigli and just be like, look, man, remove the backstory. Remove this stuff. It's a Marty Brest movie. It's kind of fun.
That's a bad movie. But when you're watching a good movie, do you ever find yourself being pulled out by saying, oh, they're using this lens here. That's interesting. Or
no,
do
I
the
think,
technical stuff ever
I think
catch
good
your
filmmakers feel that. Or every once in a while, I'll be watching a movie and be like, ooh, I would love to steal that shot or something.
Right.
And I'll remember it for that. But never like, ooh, this is how they did this or blah, blah, blah. Most times, I'm just as easily fooled. Like, I'll be sitting there watching a movie with Mosher, and I'm like, oh, my God, how did they accomplish that? And he's like, CG and strings. Like, you're in this business. Like, you've done that. Like, watching the Jane Zombob, you know, sword fight.
Right.
The lightsaber fight.
Right.
One time we were watching it, and I was just like, first time we got the effects back, finished. And I was like, this is amazing, dude. Like, I'm literally, how did that happen? He's like, you were involved every step of the way. You know how to. So
all
I'm
right,
easy. I'm still a part of the audience.
That's
so it's
good.
Easy. I can't. That's why Iron Man 2, man, this is the only movie I'm looking forward to. All summer.
I can't wait.
This is the one.
I can't wait as well.
I want to see Robin Hood, too.
I do, too.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I love that story and that character so much.
I heard you
much,
say that on the spot before, and I didn't know if you were being sarcastic.
No, I'm a huge Robin Hood fan.
You go for
like
the whole, like, the
all of
Sheriff
them.
Nottingham.
All that stuff.
But
yeah.
I like the idea that this one is dark and gritty and kind of more like, I like that.
Yeah, like in the,
like
in the
that excites
down
me.
And dirty.
I wouldn't want to see another funny or another lighthearted Robin Hood. I've seen
I just think it's going to be awesome to have a Robin Hood in my lifetime again that speaks in a British accent.
Well, there is that.
It's been a while.
Because remember the last one? Remember the other one? And when Prince of Thieves came out, the Costner picture, and that was like 1991. There you go. It was. I know it was after Batman. I remember when that flick came out, everyone was going crazy because he had been in Dances with Wolves, and he was like the man at the moment. And then the moment, and this is before the internet, words started getting out on like the Rona Barrett and those TV versions of the internet before the internet existed.
Nice pull.
Thank you very much.
Rona Barrett, everybody.
Where they started going like, I've heard that he doesn't speak in a British accent.
Well, he tries. And then fails.
It fails miserably. But imagine, like, today, like, that wouldn't exist. Oh. Like, it wouldn't be like, I've heard he, it's flat out, like, one day into shooting, they're like, he's not using.
And they'd be playing audio clips from it.
And you'd hear Costner yelling at a dude, like, get out of my line! Or he's in front of Bryce! And stuff like that. It's just a different world, man. It's a whole, we're seeing a different release to a Robin Hood movie than we've ever seen in our lifetime.
That's true.
That's a good
like,
point.
We saw another, a different release for a Batman movie than we ever saw.
But that's
like,
why I'm excited about
it. Yeah, me too. That. It is kind of, I am kind of down.
But Iron Man 2 is the one I've been looking forward to the most.
Oh, it's going
to
be dope. I saw that trailer. That trailer was amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, how could it not be good?
One more question before the break, and this kind of relates to Iron Man 2. You are a writer-director who's had a lot of hot chicks in your movies over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You could call Scarlett Johansson after Iron Man 2 and get a meeting with her. Would you do that?
I would be afraid. Isn't she married to Ryan Reynolds?
Yes. Yes,
I'd
she
be
is.
Afraid she'd be like, Ryan, the fat dude from Clerks is bothering me again. And then Ryan Reynolds, who's like so, even though he's Canadian,
wait,
he's
you
very
said
strong.
Again.
Yeah, yeah. I would assume but, that this would be a over and over kind of thing.
I didn't know if you had something in the past that you had already tried it.
But he's Green Lantern. I mean, you just need to wear something yellow and he would be
there. Oh, there's a guy. Like, check me out. I'm covered in yellow. And he decks me in the face.
But
I'm
you
like,
have
what happened, Ryan Reynolds? You're not supposed to be able to attack yellow.
But you have the perfect cover to be able to legitimately get a meeting with whoever you want to meet in Hollywood. I just wonder if you ever do that.
I think he would pick the phone. He'd take the phone away from Scarlett Johansson and be like, dude, you and I both know you never have anything of any quality that my lady would be interested in. Stop calling her.
And then you'd have to agree.
I'd be like, oh, could she come hang out at the Smod Castle?
There you go. She could be the lady of the Smod Castle.
Totally. We need a princess.
I like
Scarlett Johansson. I loved her in Ghost World, but I can't say that I'm like, I know you're very fond of her.
Yeah,
somebody
she's
is here.
Me,
Kevin.
She's definitely attractive. Yeah. I can't wait to see her as the Black Widow, but I don't think she would be the one that I'd pick up and call. I think if I was using a phone to call somebody where I'm like, hey, man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Right.
It would be like Julie Andrews.
What?
Oh, yeah, interesting. Because that would be impressive. Getting Scarlett Johansson on the phone, I don't think it would be that difficult because I'm kind of, you know, granted, I've made some crap movies.
We are out of
time
for this conversation.
But I think at the same time, she could be like, he's made some all right stuff. Julie Andrews would be a real challenge because Julie
Andrews
would be like,
you got to understand, Kevin hates everyone over 50. You got to remember that, Kevin.
That's true.
But out of all the people you could call, we were talking about Scarlett Johansson.
Julie Andrews was in the Sound of Music,
she's
man. I could be like, remember when
you
sang on the hill and all that
right.
stuff?
We got
to take a walk through history.
We got to go. We got
she's married
time.
To Blake Edwards. He made all the Pink Panther movies.
We have to go.
I could be like, what's it like to sleep with Blake Edwards, man?
Ralph's showbiz beat.
Yeah, I was like, when I was a kid, I always wanted to know, what's it like to sleep with Blake Edwards? He made SOB.
That's Ralph has the showbiz beat. Kevin Smith is here, and we'll be returned right after this on The Kevin and Bean. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Now turning it over to the Ralph and Kevin Show for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
We're walking the beat, man. I love walking the beat with Ralph. You know what I'm saying? Because Ralph watches your back when you go to the bathroom on the beat. And that's the biggest thing you got to worry
about. That's the first they teach you when you're partners. Just make sure you're watching the guy's back when he goes to the bathroom. You know? American Idol update for those of you who are still watching. According to the ratings, it's getting less and less every week.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I thought that thing would go on forever.
It's falling apart. I don't know why.
This week had its lowest ratings since its inception.
Is Simon Cowell still on the show?
Yeah.
This is his final season. So it's not even that?
No. Final season.
For a few more weeks.
Ralph quit because he said there was no interesting people
no
this
talent.
Year.
No talent.
Me too.
This year.
Really? I quit the same time. It's a terrible crop of kids, yeah.
They may be out of undiscovered singers. America may be out of undiscovered singers.
I don't believe
everyone
that.
Who can sing is apparently already singing. That's what they told us this year.
Why can't we bring in the Asian dude who's saying,
That guy was amazing.
Like, wasn't that insane?
That was
insane.
Good.
Like, better than Whitney Houston herself.
Absolutely.
Particularly lately.
Aaron Kelly was the name of the young man booted off the show last night, which was, as always, 2 seconds of drama surrounded by 58 minutes of padding. Lady Gaga and Harry Connick Jr. performed.
Just stalling and stalling. We got the results coming up. I mean it.
Next week, Songs of the Cinema with Jamie Foxx's mentor.
Songs
of the Cinema.
Can they do a song from like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
I think they probably will.
Because I Got High? That'd make the show interesting for a bunch of people.
It would. The German heavy metal song from the boomebox, from Clerks.
Oh, from King Diamond? King Diamond. Oh, from Berserker being Clerks.
Yeah, that's it. Speaking of American Idol, even with its numbers, it was still number one this week in terms of ratings. And interestingly enough, Forbes released a a list of TV's biggest advertising money generators, which means they may not be the highest in the ratings, but given the particular audience they appeal to, they can charge more for advertising than other shows can.
Interesting.
And it was interesting. Two and a Half Men was second. They charge, well,
they have good ratings too, though, right?
Yeah. Very strong ratings. Yeah.
But shows that don't necessarily have great ratings were also in the top 10, like Grey's Anatomy, for example.
Because they've got the desirable demographic.
They've got those young women watching.
Yeah, they can sell stuff to them. Like, do you need tampons?
Brought to you by Mazingale.
Exactly.
American Idol, in a half an hour, generates $8 million for Fox in advertising.
That seems like a lot.
In 1/2 hour.
It's so weird because you guys were talking about how people are losing interest. I was going to offer them a home at the Smod Castle. Santa Monica. But apparently they're doing okay.
Not at that point yet.
Ryan Seacrest standing in front of 50 people at the Smod Castle doing
American
Idol.
How many years before we get there?
I get that.
Oop, my alarm just went off. It's time to get up.
Wow, moving on.
David Boreanaz. The sex scandal gets weirder and weirder. Another twist came out this week. Of course, if you've been following, he came out and admitted that he had an affair on his wife. And he said he came forward because Gloria Allred, celebrity slash attorney Gloria Allred, came to him with an offer from the woman saying she would be quiet for X number of dollars, which is extortion.
The chick that he had sex with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's illegal,
the mistress.
Right?
That's what I'm wondering.
It's extortion.
I think it is. Yeah, it sounds like extortion. It's like, I'll keep quiet if you...
Gloria, how can Gloria be a party to that, though, if it's extortion?
Well, Gloria Allred said that David Boreanaz's attorney, this is the guy from Bones, by the way, in case you don't know, recognize the name, approached the girl first with a money offer.
Okay.
Oh. So his attorney approached the girl that Angel slept with, but who, by the way, is no Angel, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
And said, hey, man, we'll give you some hush money.
Right. So, and then she got herself.
Is that against the law to offer somebody hush money?
I don't think it is, though. I think you can make a deal like
that. You can buy somebody's silence and it's legal?
Yeah. Unless it's they're a witness in a case or something.
Remember, Michael Jackson did that. He paid like $25 million to that family.
So apparently this girl.
Why didn't Southwest Airlines send me a check to shut up? That was so loud. If I was them, I'd be like, here's a check, man. Here's a plane. Just shut up.
Here's a plane.
Yeah, here's a whole plane.
Take all the seats out. Just go nuts.
Take all the seats out.
So then she got herself a representative.
I like when Lisa gets very interested. You're interested in infidelity all the time. Well, you're like, what is Angel doing and where's he putting it?
If he was offering money. And now
then the girl,
he's
the girl got herself a lawyer.
Did she ask for too much money? Is that why he came forward?
Well, apparently, yeah.
So they went with one fee. He said, hey, and they didn't say this, but I'll give you $50,000. Don't say anything. And they were like, $50,000?
Right. So this girl gets her own attorney, and then the attorney comes back, I guess, with what amounts to a counteroffer, basically. Yeah. And he, apparently said, screw it, and came public, and now he's working on his
So that's
marriage.
Why it's not blackmail, though, or whatever you call it.
That's what Gloria Allred is saying. Okay. Yeah.
The long, long story short, never cheat on your wife.
Just don't.
Just don't. You know what you need? This is what you don't. You don't need to cheat on your wife. Get a fleshlight. I got one.
There you go.
There's your alt. That's your alt.
It's your girlfriend's.
And your wife will never be mad at you, and if you let her watch, she'll be infinitely amused.
But in a funny way.
I can't take the laughter during that.
I'm so used to it. My whole life, since age 13, I'm used to the laughter. I pull it out. They're like, ha, ha, ha.
So the real part of the story is with the Angel again, is that we are all led to believe that the mistress was Rachel Uchitel, who was Tiger Woods' number one mistress.
That was a big part of the story. She must be luring all of these guys. This is her plan.
Apparently not Rachel.
No, it wasn't her.
There may have been a relationship between David Boreanaz and Rachel, but it's not. This isn't the one who got the lawyer who was looking for the
her
money.
Her last name again?
Uchitel.
Uchitel?
Uchitel. Right there.
Sounds
Uchitel.
Like a limerick, right? Once was Rachel a chick Uchitel. Named Rachel Uchitel. We used to meet Tiger at the Bronx Hotel.
And Kesha is in the news.
Who is that? She's
Kesha
the number
with a dollar
two
sign.
Down searched person you were saying.
Yeah,
before.
You're not familiar with Kesha's work?
No, what's her song?
She is a pop songstress with little talent. And a lot of attitude.
That defines so many.
And she had a hit song called TikTok.
I think I've heard that, yes.
The party don't start till I walk in.
That's a
chick. I like that song very much. I've never heard it before. I just like the few bars. It's a good opening. Strong opening.
She specializes in that.
I can see why that became popular for a week.
Baby talk sort of sexuality.
Talking pedicure on our toes. Trying on all our clothes. Boys blowing up our phones.
I like it.
What are the boys blowing?
Her phone.
Blowing up her phone.
I was like, I can see why that song's so popular. It's about young gay men.
She's making a little cash on the side. She apparently is doing private shows like a lot of acts these days. She was paid recently $50,000 to do two songs at a bat mitzvah in New York.
$50,000
for two songs.
It's not bad.
At the Smod Castle?
That's like 8 minutes of work.
The bat mitzvah.
Is there anybody at a bar mitzvah that needs me and Mosher to stand up there and talk and about riff? What would happen if we were on the island of Lost or something like that?
A bunch of 13-year-olds?
And then finish up with, today you are a man. Have a week.
Apparently she finished the set, but before she collected her check, she wished the young girl a happy sweet 16. For those of you who don't know, bat mitzvah is when a 13-year-old Jewish girl becomes a woman. The girl was crushed by all accounts, but Kesha got her check anyway.
How'd the girl not laugh at the dumbness of Kesha? I mean, how did you not go?
I'm sure she's a big Kesha fan, and that's why Daddy Goldberg.
Wow.
Happy quinceañeras, little girl. She's like, I'm Jewish, you idiot. Today I am a woman.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, really.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Adrian Palicki.
Oh, she's so hot.
Friday Night Lights and Legion.
She's Tyra on Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Now, is that the dark-haired girl?
No, the blonde.
No.
Who's the dark-haired girl who is cheating on her wounded boyfriend? The first
boyfriend?
Yes. Who was that?
Minka Kelly.
Minka Kelly.
That's Lila. Lila.
She is a very attractive girl.
She's on Parenthood now. She's awesome, yeah.
Oh, is she off Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
That show's dead.
Is that show's over?
No, that show's awesome.
The show's dead.
And it's still on.
But it's still on, right?
But it's canceled. It's not coming back.
It's not coming back.
It is coming back. They got another season, Ralph.
No, it's dead.
Oh, dear God. Move on.
One more
move
season.
On.
It's like Lisa's mom. It's gone. Did
you? She's got one foot in the grave.
I feel so bad about your mother. I'm so sorry.
My mom is not dead.
We're going to send some flowers to Friday Night Lights. That's how sick it is.
I can't believe it. Yeah. What were those flowers again?
You know, Friday Night Lights is going to be around forever, so you better send flowers now when you got the chance.
I bought it, man. You made me feel. I literally was crying listening to that commercial going, I got to reach out to my mother.
See?
She's such
did
a beautiful
you see
lady.
Legion with that's Paul nice. Bettany, the movie where the angels come and attack Earth? And
I did when it was called Dogma. they just took all the anal jokes out and
blew some crap
that's what
up.
It is. Yeah, it blew a few things up. Looks a little better.
Adrian Palicki's in that, and
she's in it as well.
Smoking hot in that. Yeah, Gabri Sidibe is 27 years old.
That's
today.
Precious.
Yes.
Is she in the Star Wars movies as well?
No, that's not. Our sound effect for ugly.
Oh, she.
One
ugly.
Of our sound effects.
She's not ugly.
If
I was a single man. I saw her interviewed during the Oscars, and she had like attitude and
yeah. Very charming, plus, very very personable young woman.
Yeah, very personable. Yeah. I find her sexy.
I don't know if you heard, but Oscar night, Southwest Airlines called her and said, "Don't even think about it."
Oh. They're
that's
bastards.
That's how bastards they're they are. Bastards. They're bastards.
I know.
She wasn't even thinking about taking a flight. She wasn't even thinking about it. They called her up. A preemptive strike from Southwest Airlines.
Ralph, I don't know if you know this, but kind of the same thing happened to me once.
What?
I've not heard about that.
George Clooney's 49 years old today.
49?
Yeah.
That dude is only essentially 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
But like a god on earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, still. And will be for the rest of his life, won't he?
He's a good guy, man. He seems like a guy. I talked to him once, had one long conversation with him. I was like, I like this dude.
You're the luckiest man on the planet.
Ralph worships
him. I am,
him.
Ralph.
I would love to have a long conversation with
actually,
George Clooney.
George is probably the luckiest guy on the planet.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But he seemed nice and centered and kind of dude who was just like, you know, hey, this is great. This is a lark. And I treat it seriously. It's my job. But let's not kid around. Like,
right. You rarely hear a bad story about him.
No.
There's not much floating around
his head
with
on
his
straight.
Boy, he was a dick. You know, you don't get that.
He's a good dude.
I remember hearing the story. Remember when they were doing Three Kings and he defended the extra?
Yeah.
From
when he got into fisticuffs with David, I heard.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah. We're still on the air.
We're geeking out. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
This is interesting to somebody, I'm sure.
Yeah, somebody.
Somewhere, you know, George Clooney's listening. If George Clooney calls in the next 3 minutes, Kevin, you're going to be like,
that'd be so
thank
cool.
You.
You're right, I will.
George, please call in just so we can keep talking about Three Kings. Nobody talks about it anymore.
You think it's funny, Kevin, until Christian Bale called in. Then you know it can happen, man.
Did he really call in based on you guys making fun of him?
Yeah.
Because he thought we were giving him a decent shake, by the way we were doing
it. We made him laugh about it, he said. Yeah. And so we called in.
Yeah. Check it out.
So George, we're George. Waiting.
Can we just go dead air for the next minute until George Clooney calls?
Let's just wait for George Clooney to call.
All right.
George, the 1-800-520-1067 is the number. George, happy birthday, and we're looking forward to hearing from you anytime. Now.
We've got Phil Kogan from Amazing Race on the phone, by the way, so we really, really need to wrap
this
up.
He's no George Clooney.
Yeah, I know, but he also is scheduled. So
that's true. All right, George. Well, I'm sure you meant to call in
next
in the
time.
Bathroom. Happy birthday.
I'm Ralph Garvin. He's Kevin Smith. We walk the showbiz.
We're just having a lot of people on the program that make me feel bad about us, Kevin. I got to be honest about that.
Well, who
does? Papadakis comes in. He's so good at what he does. Kevin Smith just left. He always makes us just sound dumb. Phil Kogan, of course, one of the best people on the planet at everything he does. And, of course, one of his most high-profile jobs is the host of The Amazing Race. The finale airs this Sunday night at 8 on CBS. Always a pleasure to catch up with Phil, who joins us on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hey, Phil, how are you, man?
Very good. Thanks for having me on.
Always great to talk to you. I know you get you run into a lot of race fans as you go around doing all of your crazy bike riding and everything else that you do. This week, are you getting nothing but please don't let Miss Teen South Carolina win this thing, as if you have anything to do with it?
Well, yes, you read my mind, or at least you seem to be following me around, because yes, that would be absolutely true.
I want her to win so bad because...
Do you?
Just because everyone hates her. It just cracks me up that everyone hates her so much.
She would never get over
this
herself.
This is who we're talking about. We're talking about Miss South Carolina, who she's best known for being in the pageant and giving this answer.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps. And
Make us hear the whole thing.
And you know she went on the Iraq and such and blah, blah, blah. Right.
So this is her. This is her redemption tour.
Yeah, but do you guys all have maps at home, or?
No one has maps. Phil, nobody has maps. But here's my favorite thing, Bean, because I watch the show every week. She honestly thinks that this will erase that. She honestly believes, that if she shows well on this show, that question and answer is going to go away forever, and people are going to stop giving her a hard time about it.
Right. Is that accurate, Phil?
What you have to give her credit for is the fact that after going through all of that, she has subjected herself to ridicule on the show by, some of the other teams, and that she has actually had the guts to get out there and try to prove people wrong. Whether people are convinced that, she is different from the person who froze and the synapses just stopped firing on the show or not, whether you agree with that or not, you have to give her credit for the fact that she did front up to the starting line and that she has run this race and that she's beaten out other teams who have claimed to be a lot smarter than her. So regardless of, what I'm saying?
I don't think that the old tape will go away or whatever. I do have a more appreciation that she's a more well-rounded person than that tells you, for God's sake.
Right. And I don't know if it's ever happened to you guys where you've just had a moment where you're frozen, and I'm not making any excuses.
100,000 times a week that happens to us.
Which is why you're on radio.
Yeah.
But, I have to tell you, it's happened to me. I've had a moment, once in my career where I was reading a prompter, and normally I don't have a prompter to work with. I have to memorize everything.
Right.
And I was reading a prompter, and I got to this one word, and I just, for whatever reason, my brain stopped functioning. And I was so embarrassed. I remember thinking, what the hell's wrong with me? And I kept apologizing. And thankfully, it hasn't happened that often, and thankfully, I've still had a career. But she absolutely froze in that moment, and I can just imagine she's thinking, I don't even know what I'm saying right now. So the fact that she had the guts to get on the show and go out and try to prove herself, I admire her for that. But you're absolutely right when you say that, I have a lot of people stop me and say, Phil, we know you can't control.
Don't let them win.
But please, trip them up before they get to the map because they don't want to see
them. They are in the final three. It's them. It's the Cowboys, Jet and Cord.
One of the best teams ever, man. These guys are just they've got all the best one-liners. I love when they.
Oh my gravy! They do say "Oh my gravy."
Yeah, that don't get rattled.
Smelling what you're stepping in.
Yeah, they do that. They never take off their cowboy hats. Never.
I think they're stitched to their heads.
And they come in first a lot. They're an amazing team. And then you've got the brothers. One of them is gay, and then his brother is doing it with him because he's always wanted to do it. And they are who I hope wins.
Well, they've been fiercely competitive, and there's been quite a few emotions with Jordan. And you remember, in the fast forward in Singapore, they're 700 feet up on the world's tallest Ferris wheel, and that was a big moment for them because Jordan was absolutely petrified of heights, and he crawled out onto the between the two observation.
Yeah, that looked scary.
Vehicles, and he went across, and that really propelled them into the front of the pack, and then that's helped them get into the final three. And Jet and Cord are without doubt, they've got the best coordination and balance of any team we've ever had.
Yeah.
If you remember in Malaysia, they got that flagpole that was like 20 feet high, and they put it on their heads and ran down the field like it was no problem at all.
Yeah, they had to balance it, and I was thinking to myself, wow, I would just walk away from that. I wouldn't even try it, and they did it perfectly.
I know it.
Amazing.
I gave it a shot when I was there, it's just incredibly difficult to do. And when they got there and just put it on their head and ran, the locals, all the guys who, you know, trained to do it and everything, they were just staring in disbelief. They couldn't believe
right.
that somebody could walk in and just do that. But if you're going to ride a bull for 8 seconds the way they do, and you're going to be competitive the way they are, I guess you got to have good balance.
I guess.
Phil, I know you only have a few seconds before you've got to go. We're talking to Phil Kogan about the Amazing Race finale this Sunday night. What can you tell us? It is in San Francisco. Is that where the thing ends up this time?
Yeah, it ends up in San Francisco. And, you know, wherever we go, we always try to do indigenous challenges. We love, you know, to get the teams to do things
then
the way.
Then Dan and Jordan have a leg up if it ends in San Francisco, right?
Well, I always
see Lisa because one of them is gay. Is that Joe?
All right, we got it, Kevin. We got it.
Sorry,
let Phil talk.
We got the leg up a while ago. Okay. Anyway, so what we have them do, actually, one of the really cool challenges is they come in and they go to Industrial Light and Magic, and they go into a virtual world, and it's the first time we've ever done anything like that, and it's really the complete antithesis to all the indigenous challenges that we've had them do around the world, and it makes for a very, very exciting finish that's happening in the real world and the virtual world, and then they're crossing each other and overtaking each other all the way to the end, and I promise you, you'll be guessing as to who's going to be coming across the finish line first.
It's this Sunday night, 8 o'clock, CBS. One final question, Phil. Thanks for spending the time with us. Who wins?
Yeah.
let's talk about that on Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys do such a great job. You stay under the radar, yet consistently put on an outstanding show every single season, Phil, and you deserve a lot of the credit. You do a great job steering the thing. Thanks, as always, for joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Well, I got to tell you, every time I go on your show and I walk out into the street, people go, oh, man, I heard you on Kevin DeBean this morning. Like, everybody knows you guys. It's unbelievable. So I appreciate you guys letting us, you know, get on and talk about the show because obviously, there's a lot of people listening.
It's a great show.
Sunday
night, 8 o'clock, CBS. Thank you, Phil. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:44.
I want to be as happy with my life as Kevin Smith is with his life. That's a guy who walks out of here just feeling great about the world, isn't he? Loves his fans,
about him,
his work, his
about
wife,
his life.
His
he's got
kids.
A better life than you do. That's why he can be happy about it.
But he here's the difference, is that he went out and got a life.
And a good one.
Right.
And he's doing what he wants to do, and he's happy with the people that he's with, and he's doing creative, interesting things.
If there's an opposite of him, it would be you.
I got to look into that.
You have a giant lemon growing out of your belly button. You got a tube in your eye. You don't like people. Your dogs are biting you, and you live behind a moat. No wonder you're not happy.
I just admire Mr. Smith a great deal, that's all. And again, you can see him standing room only at the House of Blues Sunset Strip if you're in Los Angeles tomorrow night starting at 8 o'clock. Go to viewaskew.com. And Kevin's boyfriend, Ralph Garman, is here with another look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
If it's any consolation, Bean, no one could be happy with your life.
That's true.
So
okay.
It's not your fault. So it's not just me.
Right. It's not like, oh, I can't be happy with my life. No one who
You've
is leading your life could be happy.
You've crafted a crappy life.
That's right.
That no one would be happy with.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Feel better?
No matter how miserable I am, though, I look at Donna and think how much worse it must be for her. So it does give me at least some joy.
Don't
there.
Worry. She's getting hers. Yeah. Someplace, somehow. She's getting her joy.
All I know is the King of Mexico makes a flight up there about once a week.
Yeah.
So, you tell me.
He travels more there than UPS for some reason. He's just dropping off packages left and right over there at Clown Town.
Sometimes they're packages, sometimes they're bombs, but he drops them.
Speaking of packages, this is the greatest story ever. And I want to thank producer Alex for turning me on to it. I don't know which website she got it from, but it's we got it from a website.
All right. A website is the source.
Story.
It sounds reputable.
There is a TV series on BBC Three called Bizarre ER.
Bizarre ER?
Yes. Where, you know, once in a while we'll talk to our buddy Dr. Mo. Yeah. And we'll ask him about the weirdest things he ever found in an X-ray or weird right. stories that he's run across, medical oddities.
Sure.
And that show, the 101 crazy things that ended up in a human body, like that guy we talked to every once in a while.
I think this would probably be on that show. A woman went to be checked out because she was experiencing problems in her nether regions.
Oh.
In her lady garden.
Okay.
In her hoo-ha.
Right.
And what the medics found in that area...
Yes.
Explained
the discomfort. It was a rolled up a rolled up poster of Donny Osmond.
In
what?
Her hoo ha?
In her lady place.
What?
Vagina.
What? But wouldn't she realize that was causing her pain and just
I'm just guessing, Kevin. Just from the facts that I've read, she probably isn't the most mentally competent, stable person that these doctors ever worked on.
Right.
So I'm guessing she lives in an alternate universe.
So she put a poster there.
Not like in Lost. I mean, she's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a rolled up Donny Osmond poster. She loves her some Donny Osmond.
Vagina.
And so,
wow.
That's what they found there. And that explained her discomfort.
I bet it did.
That was an easy solve for the doctor.
Sure was. If every case was so easy.
No kidding.
Yeah. But I want to thank producer Alex for passing that on to me because I love that story so much.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Kim Kardashian.
Glendale.
Getting death threats.
What?
And not just because her reality show is unwatchable.
It is bad.
Apparently, she had a photo taken of her and Justin Bieber at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in Washington, D.C. on Saturday night. And Justin kiddingly posted the photo and tweeted, "Here's me and my girlfriend." Well,
you can't kid like that.
That did not sit well with the legions of Biebernaires, or whatever they're called.
Beliebers.
Beliebers.
Yeah.
They started making death threats to Kim Kardashian. Because
how does a six-year-old make a death threat? How does he even understand that?
Well, and who knew Kim Kardashian was gay?
See, because Justin Bieber's a girl.
I got Bieber fever.
And Justin had to tweet himself for everyone just to relax. They're just friends, and everyone needs to calm down.
Yeah.
So back off. Bieber writes.
Beliebers.
Bret Michaels is finally talking about the brain hemorrhage he suffered last month, and it sounds unpleasant.
Really?
Yes. Doctors found out he had a rolled-up poster of Donny Osmond in his brain.
Wow, that's
isn't that strange?
How'd that get in there?
I wouldn't have expected that.
No, Bret said that he literally heard a pop.
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
When the vessel broke in his brain.
You can hear it pop?
I would guess. It's right there in your head.
Wow.
It's close to your ears.
Ouch.
He said he felt like he was shot in the back of the head when it happened. His mind went totally blank, and he couldn't move his head.
Wow.
It was at that point that his girlfriend realized it was not just a headache, and they took him to the hospital. He is expected to make a full recovery, and Donald Trump is still holding out hope that he will show up for the finale, the live finale of Celebrity Apprentice later on this month.
Is he still allowed to wear the bandana, or did that create too much pressure in his skull, causing the aneurysm?
That's not how we got the end.
I'm telling you, I think that's what happened.
It's a kind of a sad story. When he was in the ER, Bret kept asking doctors the best he could through his slurred speech, "Am I dying? Am I dying?"
Oh.
Because he said he wanted to see his kids if he was dying, but if he wasn't, he didn't want them to see him in this condition.
Wow, so that's rough.
Doctors didn't know how to answer because at the time, you don't know what's going on, you know?
Right.
But
you could be. Can you be more specific?
Maybe.
I need an answer.
I think you were on vacation, Kevin, when Bean, regarding this story and his life, said, "Well, every rose has its thorn."
Oh, dear.
Well, because
God.
It looked like a terrible, tragic story.
Wow.
On an otherwise great life.
Yeah,
and
I don't
I'm just
think
saying.
That needs explanation.
Saying how strange for poor Bret.
Larry King and Sean Southwick just can't make up their minds about whether they're going to stay married or not, according to TMZ.com.
But I thought he slept with her sister.
Yeah, but apparently she was sleeping with, like, the tennis pro or somebody. She was getting some, too.
Little League coach.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. Okay.
So TMZ.com reports that they are extending their 14-day, what they're calling their cooling-off period. They're giving it another week to decide whether or not they want to go through with the divorce or not.
I'm a professional.
Only in America. Wow.
If you need 3 weeks to make up your mind whether you're going to get divorced or not, you're
probably going to do it, yeah.
You dink. I mean, if you're both sleeping with other people,
look,
maybe
that's a
sign.
But my take would be Larry is, like Lisa's mom, very close to death.
Right.
Right. May not make it this weekend, right?
Right. Divorce is a very painful, protracted, ugly experience.
Wait.
No. So, look, she's getting the tennis coach. He's banging the sister. Let's just all agree that we're all going to go off and just do our own thing.
But we'll not get divorced.
We'll not get divorced. We're going to stay together. We're going to raise this child we have. and we're just gonna live it out. We're just gonna live
but,
each other
but
out.
But I think divorce is ugly and protracted and painful for regular people like you and me, Ralph, who may do it once in our lives. A guy like Larry, it's like going through drive through McDonald's. He's been there so often. What is this, the seventh one?
This is his seventh marriage, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not that big a deal for him. He's got the team in place to make it happen.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
I think he has a team standing by at all times. Like a
probably
team,
a bunch of attorneys,
like
yeah.
Like a pit crew. They're all like in matching jumpsuits and stuff, and they've got power pens and things, like high-tech equipment just to get ready to whip off a divorce in case he needs it.
Probably.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Where would we be without the Snoop Man?
Where would we be without the Snoop Man? Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Gabourey Sidibe is 27 years old today. She, of course, precious.
Yeah.
She's precious.
Yeah.
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 See, you're getting a lot more film work.
Nope.
I've seen none, but I...
Well, it's a little soon to tell, but I'm just
guessing.
I'm guessing, as good as she was in Precious, she will be hard to cast in other films.
The Kraken,
yeah. Could be.
Adrian Palicki.
That's what I'm
Friday
talking
Night
about.
Lights and Legion is also 27 years old today. Chris Shiflett from Foo Fighters is 39. Roma Downey, lovely and talented Irish actress, married to reality show producer Mark Burnett, is 50 years old today. Tom Bergeron, the very talented host of So You Think You're Dancing with the Singing Bee?
What's yes. that song? That's it. That is it.
And George Clooney. We've been worshiping at his altar all day today because he's just the coolest. He's just the best. He's 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and tomorrow we have an all-new program for you. We have Dewan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California on the show.
He does good work.
We're excited about that. He's looking to find a good Christian woman in the San Pedro
a
area.
A white Christian woman,
that's
by
correct.
The way.
Yes, that is. That's
very specific with what he's looking for.
Revenge on cheaters tomorrow. That'll be our call-in topic. People who got cheated on and then got revenge. The latest story was the one where she emailed everyone at CAA, right? Was that the story?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
She said to kind of spread the news.
Yes, he was
that her
an
husband
agent
was
there.
He was an agent there? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Wow, that's bad.
Thanks for that info being tomorrow.
How dare you.
We have Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, tomorrow because it's Friday. We have Movie Beat. We have Mr. Skin with a very scary list of Mother's Day. For Mother's Day.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
I think it's mothers and daughter combos, I think.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh, is
it?
Mothers and daughters who have both appeared nude.
We're going to talk to Lisa Mae's dead mom.
Oh, good.
Well, how are we going to do that?
Light of Heaven.
And the King
of Mexico. Ouija board.
And the King of Mexico on the red carpet for Iron Man 2. All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music next.